We'd like to call this meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Indian River County School Board. The purpose of the meeting is to meet with our consultants on the superintendent search and hopefully narrow down and get some definition to the search and get some candidates and get them in here to interview and move on with this search. We are joined today, just one bit of housekeeping. We are not being videotaped today, board members, so we are being audiotaped. So even though it's a kind of a close, more informal session, we would actually speak into the mic so that the microphone can pick you up. We're joined today by Dr. Wayne Blanton, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Blanton in a minute, but he is joined by a couple of his colleagues, both Andrea Messina and Mr. Bill Graham are here with us. Both Ms. Messina and Mr. Graham are former board members in counties in Florida and have been a big help to Dr. Blanton in the search, I'm sure. Dr. Blanton, I believe you said this is your 85th superintendent search in the state of Florida?
Yes.
And it's also Dr. Blanton's second day of retirement. He spent his first day of retirement driving from Tallahassee to Vero Beach and spending his second day of retirement with us. So we're very grateful and thankful for that you're here. And with that, I will go ahead and turn this over to Dr. Blanton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a pleasure being here. As you recall, when we did the initial workshop, I said I would be retiring on Friday and would finish this and I indicated that the association asked me to finish this search since I had started it, and we did initial workshops and all that. That's what I'll be doing. Let me say some things about superintendent searches. I have been doing superintendent searches in the state of Florida for 40 years, close to 40 years. In fact, historically, I'll age myself a little bit. The first search the Florida School Board Association did was 1978 in Indian River County. We had been told to start getting into searches, and I visited several states that did searches, and we came back and put together our search team, and I believe in 1978 we hired Jim Burns from Tullahoma, Tennessee. In fact, I did the site visit for Jim Burns, and as you know, Jim and I became good friends over the years of coming to Tallahassee and doing some things. And we've been doing searches since 1978, and we've done most of the searches in the state of Florida. There are other good firms that do searches, and we appreciate you using the Florida School Board Association. I say that to sort of put this in context. Of all of the searches we've been doing, I have never had more qualified candidates in a search than this one. This is the toughest search I've ever done to get down to the finalists, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. I have not had a search with more than 40 applicants in about 10 or 15 years. We got 69 applicants, and we had a list of about 16 or 17 that we got down to, the three of us, and doing background checks and all. I think all of them are at some point ready to be a superintendent. And then we're going to present you a list here in just a moment of the eight that we think that are the top candidates based on what we have seen at this point in some of our background checks. So what I'd like to do is Mr. Chairman, if with your permission, is hopefully you've all read the resumes, and I'm certain hopefully some of you have done some background checks on your own. It's not our search. It's your search. It's our search to make sure you get the right person. And so anything you say in favor of us is great. Anything you say to offend us is okay, because we want to make sure you get the right fit for Indian River. And the candidates you look at is there. We had some to get to that top eight. There were a couple that were right there. You know, you're saying, okay, this person is, the reason he's not here is he only has vocational experience. If he has some other experience, like a school finance or curriculum, he might be in the top candidates. So we can give you a reason as to why they didn't make our top eight at this point. Your decision today is basically twofold. Who do you want to interview? Which ones you want to interview? How many you want to interview? And who do you want to interview? And then, of course, the second part of that, which we're not involved in, is how you're going to set those interviews up and who you'd like to see. That, very quickly, I'm going to show you who our top eight are, Mr. Chairman, and then what we would like to do is go through and spend a couple of minutes on each one and telling you what we have found their strengths are, and then from there, take it however you want to go.
Okay. Ms. Jimenez.
Yeah, I just have a question. I had envisioned
a different process, and you know, we'll just squeeze that time. But I sort of envision, because it's our search, that we would give our top candidate and we would figure out what the board is looking for and be able to do a comparison instead of going straight with the consultants.
We're not going straight with the consultants. Dr. Plant is going to, they have done their due diligence. They're going to go with their top eight. From that point, we can take and do with that what we want. If you want to discuss other people, if you want to come down at the end of it after you discuss 69 people, if we want to, we can.
That's the process. That's the process. I think you'll find some of ours match most of yours. And what I see the process is, let us talk just a few minutes about the ones we see. You add or subtract. I mean, you know, if you've got other candidates that you would like to add, they're good. Let's talk about them and get them before you at that point. I think if when we go through these, hopefully some of them will match what you see as your top candidates, and then we'll come in and talk about the others. But in the end, only five people make a decision of who we interview. It's not us. It's you. So if we can get through this.
Yeah, please.
Our candidates right now, the top eight. These candidates here. She is an out-of-state candidate. We're going to talk about them in just a moment. I'm just going to give you. She's an out-of-state candidate from Maryland. Bill Graham has done the background on that. Mark Rendell is a St. Lucie County deputy. Frank Rodriguez is an area superintendent in Palm Beach. So you see what you've got: Maryland, Florida, Florida. David Christensen is a deputy superintendent in Lake County, Florida. Scott Howard is an assistant deputy superintendent in Orange County, Orlando, Florida. Rocky Kalon is a sitting superintendent in Indiana. He was Indiana's superintendent of the year last year, and we'll talk about him in just a moment. Phyllis Edwards is a superintendent in Decatur, Georgia. We'll talk about her, but previous to being a superintendent in Decatur, she spent about 18 years I got to look back at the resume, about 18 years as assistant superintendent in Flagler County. So she has Florida experience as an assistant, 12 years as a Georgia superintendent. And Helen Weil is an assistant superintendent in St. Lucie. And so you've got, what you've got is Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Florida, 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 and Maryland. So you have a mix there of candidates from in-state and out-of-state. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to let Bill Graham talk about the first candidate.
Okay, before I do, just a couple of things. The first time that I went through what you're going through right now was 1991, and Wayne Blanton and some of his folks were helping us. And I went through your experience five times as a school board member in Palm Beach County. And when we get through with talking about who we feel is worthy of your serious consideration, you all have your list, and I think Wayne really said, without saying it, if you all throw all eight of these out and come to consensus on somebody that's not on this list, the world will survive just fine. But if you haven't already, before you get into the real details about comparing person A to person B, I'd say take a little pulse of where you all are. Because there's no such thing as the perfect candidate for every situation. And I mean, if you all knew that you were in the midst of a financial crisis because somebody plundered and pillaged the treasury and that's why you got rid of them, then you need a certain kind of candidate to restore financial stability. And if you were having other problems, you know, there's the right kind of candidate for each situation. And I see you all as in a peaceful, tranquil environment. You've got good things going on, and you're really interested in taking the good things to a higher level. So that can be done by certain types of people, but not by everybody. And so I just say, keep in mind where you are on your trail toward the future, and a person with certain skills and interests is the best fit for your current and immediate future situation. So and that's a discussion that you all can have. As I said, I would suggest before you dive into detailed comparison among your candidates. This is the biggest pool we've had in years, I believe. But Dr. Cianfrani is currently working in Maryland, and I talked of the different people that I spent some time with. I spent the most time talking with Eric Smith, and some of you might remember he's a former commissioner of education, and when he was superintendent in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a sizable district with various socioeconomic challenges, he hired Donna to work there. She became principal of a school, took care of the white flight and all kinds of other diversity challenges, and did such a good job there that when he went to Anne Arundel in Maryland, a district of around 40,000, he brought Dr. Cianfrani up there, and she was also helping in that location. And everyone speaks very highly of her. She's a participatory, sort of shared decision-making type of superintendent. That, again, you know, what type of style of executive are you looking for? You know, if you want somebody that does everything, and you can be a corporate board, that's one type of person. And if you want somebody that's very collaborative and sharing, that's a different style. And that's your decision for you all to come to consensus on. I would say her principal's experience was exemplary everywhere. She had good feedback on peaceful interaction with the unions. And as we all know, some people are able to do that, some people aren't. So she was just highly respected in every district where she's worked.
Second candidate is Mark Rendell. He's a deputy superintendent in St. Lucie, very close to here, as you know. We have some standard questions we ask a lot of candidates and everything. He says, what is he? I'm reading now from what they have told us. Focused and intelligent, sees the big picture, is willing to change the course if necessary, empowerment-oriented, willing to delegate when people are capable, doesn't show nervousness, always self-confident, thoroughly prepared. We'll also tell you that Mark Rendell, when we did the Alachua search back 6 or 8 months ago, he was one of the top two candidates in Alachua. He interviewed very well there, and he was the top two in Alachua. It doesn't have any bearing on this search, but the fact is he did interview well, and and everything. He has faced some tough times. He is he was accused, and you may have seen this, he was accused of sexual harassment, and that was dismissed. It was actually a teacher in his school, and it was sort of a broad base, and they sort of accused a number of people of being involved in this. When all the smoke cleared on that particular thing, it was all dismissed. And so Bill and I specifically asked him about that because it came up. If you Google up these candidates, you want to see all this stuff and everything. And so when those kind of things come up, we try to ask the candidate, hey, you know, what happened? And we have been told by a number of people, the candidate and others, that those were false accusations and everything was dismissed on the individuals that were named in that. And what had happened, he had non-renewed some employees. And there was a fallout on that. And one of those employees said, I was non-renewed for, you know, certain reasons, and that was not true. He built a good relationship with the Chamber of Commerce there. He is, in talking to some of the business community, they're very positive about his work with both of them, and also talking to the minority community. They have said he has really worked well with them. He's extremely fair. He's well respected by staff. He's been easy to work with. He has positive relationships, has a positive attitude. His collective bargaining experience is relatively limited. He is new to the labor relations area, but he has had no complaints from the union per se at this point as far as being deputy superintendent. He is politically astute. He is excellent at analyzing data on student behavior and telling you what should and should not be done. I think that, and I'm retired now. sometimes when you analyze student data and you give it to people to move forward and they don't take it and move forward, it doesn't do you much good to analyze the data. And I think if you put him in front of you and you ask him about some of the things that's happened in St. Lucie, I think what he wanted to happen and what did not happen, quite frankly, was not where he would have been had he been superintendent. Let me just, you know. And so he's worked with the board very closely. He is well respected by all the school board members down there. He is a cabinet member as far as sitting in on all the major issues. He is on the, I think I mentioned he works with the chamber. He's on the education foundation. He is very focused. He is a man of substance. They said he would, I had talked to several board members down there, would you hire him for superintendent? They said yes, but we feel like we're going outside because we just went outside. We just went inside last time and we're not satisfied with what we are. And I will tell you, I have done more than one search when a board will say we're going outside, and it has no necessarily reflection on some of the individuals that in that particular school district. They have just said that's what we're going to do and everything. That's what our community expects us to do. He is very willing to take on the big issues, and he has a very high deal of respect among the academic community, both from his staff and within the community. The next is Dr. Frank Rodriguez, and Bill, as he indicated by doing five searches, Bill was a 24-year school board member in Palm Beach County before he came to work for the Florida School Boards Association. He obviously knows Palm Beach County very well. Frank Rodriguez is the area superintendent there, and Bill did a lot of the background on him by talking to a number of individuals down there. Yeah, just some notes.
Okay, well, Dr. Rodriguez is one of the high-energy people. Started off in Palm Beach County as a teacher and has been a principal and has worked in the area office. And in being in charge of an area in Palm Beach County, you're overseeing 35, 40 schools or more, 40,000 students or more. So you all realize that your school district is significantly larger than the average school district in the United States of America. And that's, you know, Florida with our county model as the school district. Once you get to a certain size, the rest of the country just doesn't tend to generate people that have experience. So he's been in Palm Beach County for quite a while. He's done extremely well with Title I and the lower performing schools every time he's either been principal or head of a team to work in that area to increase student achievement. He's known by his peers as being very well prepared. He gets very, very fine complimentary feedback about his mentoring and coaching of fellow principals, because you know, we always need to keep growing internally our leadership. And I always said as a school board member, one of our biggest weaknesses as a school district anywhere is to build and sustain a succession plan for senior management positions. And I think Frank's work in the last few years makes him a very viable player in helping to develop senior management and leadership people. He's bilingual, which I told Wayne probably 15 years ago, everything we printed for distribution in Palm Beach County was in English, Haitian Creole, and Spanish. And when I left the board, we had identified 144 different languages spoken there. You all are probably not too far behind. And in my years of being a teacher at Palm Beach Community College, we had 66 languages spoken by students there. So people who are aware of and comfortable with working with a diverse population are bringing a good skill set to school districts in Florida at this point in time. He's very, very well equipped for leadership from the different positions that he's been in. He's been a very effective communicator with community and building community support from time to time when you need to change the direction that you're going in, either with curriculum or with other introduction of technology or anything of that nature. He's one of the people that can go out and inform, answer questions in a way that gets the buy-in, instills confidence, and build support for the initiatives that you, as the leaders of the board, will need to do from time to time. So I think he's very capable and very ready for the challenge that you all would put before him.
Every person we talked to about Dr. Rodriguez basically just started out saying he's A+. They should hire him. And you know, that's pretty good references when you start. I'm doing a background on Dr. Rodriguez. They just jump right in and say, well, he's A+. They, you know, boom, like that. And so, and you look at his other experience. We thought he was a candidate worthy of making the cut in here at Indian River. Dr. Christensen, I think Andrea did a number of backgrounds on him and everything, and we will let you go for a few minutes.
Okay, Dr. Christensen, when people spoke of Dr. Christensen, they spoke of his integrity, of his being proactive. He's very research-based, like you mentioned, some of the other candidates are very strong in curriculum. He knows high school, he knows the Florida standards, he knows, he's very strong in his curricular area. He has a very strong communication skills background. He has the ability to converse with the general public and with the education community. Sometimes some people can converse in the education community, but not so well with the general public. And they say that he can hit the ground running. He's not the status quo. If you're looking for status quo, this guy might not be the one you're looking for. He's worked hand in hand with the communities surrounding and supporting their F schools in Lake County. He's built some community alliances based on his own initiative. He's a change agent, basically, is kind of the impression that the people with whom I spoke. But because he's a change agent, some people don't respond so well to him, people who are not willing to make some changes. He is very responsive to the board. He goes above and beyond in his communications with the board. Anything having to do with strategic planning that he is tasked with, he has always performed well. He spent a lot of time in Orange County as well as Lake County, and he has been able to build respect with the principals that he's worked with to try to build improvement in the schools, and he is also... there would be no surprises in his background. That's one thing. He's been a part of the campaign. He always goes to data. He redeploys resources. He always stays ahead of the curve on change. So this guy is very focused on change and making positive changes. He also is very easy at working with the community and has the ability to work with the business community as well as the parent communities.
He is also, and I've talked to Dr. Christensen, and he is also extremely well-versed in the academic side. If he has a small downside, it would be he's put most of his time in the academic side and not in the business side of the Lake County School District. He is extremely well thought out there, both in the community and by the school board members. The next candidate is Scott Howard from Orange County. And I will tell you, we all know Scott Howard. He lobbies in Tallahassee. And so I've had the opportunity to work with Scott for a number of years as he's been up there. And I've gotten to know him and watch him both in Tallahassee and at the local level. One of the top superintendents in the state is Barbara Jenkins in Orange County. I really think she is a top-notch person. So obviously I called Barbara Jenkins about her, and I mean about Scott, and talked to her about him, and sent some board members and some others. So what I'm getting ready to tell you now is what they are telling me directly. He is a great problem solver. He comes up with some out-of-the-box solutions, and they had collective bargaining issues. And he serves as the chief negotiator. He's also a deputy superintendent. He and the union were able to come up with some out-of-the-box way to do things. They had some disagreements, but in the end, they were able to come up with some solutions that they were able to work out. In fact, you see that in his resume, the file there, his executive director of the union sent a letter of reference on his behalf saying that he is fair and easy to work with. His people skills are terrific. He works well with different groups. He always comes well prepared, and I've seen that on a number of occasions. Everybody says he's smart, smart, smart. You get that every time you talk to people. He is highly regarded. I will tell you, he's a good lobbyist in Tallahassee. He represents Orange County well. He has the ability to comprehend complex issues and get to the bottom of it, and he can talk to everybody about a complex issue and still make sure they understand it. He is extremely active, and he's very, active in the community. He is a strategic thinker. If you look at his resume, you'll also see he has some different experiences than some of your other candidates. He was on the board of trustees for Seminole College, which in my day was Seminole Community College, but now Seminole College. And he was also chairman of Seminole College Board of Trustees. He has been, and I say that to the point that he's been very, very active within the community. And that's a, to me, is a big plus by having a knowledge not only of K through 12, but he has a knowledge of the community college system that I don't believe any other candidates would have simply because of serving as chairman there. He is extremely quick study. He is very good with teachers. He is a very good public speaker, and I've heard him on numerous occasions. He can solve just about any problem that's given to him. He is absolutely great with the board members. The board members really like the way he communicates with them and keeps them up to speed on all the issues that are there. He has no baggage, as we can look at. He is, I'm going to the next person that talked to me. He can listen and makes decisions, and one of the things they said, he listens well. He's not overbearing. He's and he presents himself well. Does not panic. He's been in some very tough situations. He does not panic. He's very calm no matter what the situation may be and everything. He's admired by all. And then I start looking. Has he had experience working with minorities groups? And the answer is yes. He's great with the minority groups. He has some letters of reference from some of the minority groups there. How do you describe his relationship with parents and students? Great. How do you describe his relationships with district staff? Great. And so you start looking at those kind of answers consistently across the board. He is very fair with everyone. He was a top-notch assistant principal. He is on the superintendent's management team, so he's in on all the different issues that are there. And he is very familiar with the large Orange County budget. And that is what we have on Scott Howard. The next candidate is Rocky, and I talked to Rocky Ann. Let me get my folder real quick. I've talked to him, and as you notice, he sent a thick resume in, probably the most that I've seen in a long time. But my counterpart in Indiana was a gentleman named Frank Bush, who just retired a few months ago. And so I called Frank, and not only did Frank know this gentleman, but his grandchildren go to school in his district. So at that point, I said, okay, I've got your attention. You know, so we started talking to him. And he said that he is a terrific candidate. He was, as you know, he was Indiana Superintendent of the Year last year. Now, his district, in talking to Rocky, his district has 2,250 students. But the previous district had 10,000 students where he was assistant superintendent. Because at first, I was going to cut him out because of the size of the district versus what you had asked for. But then when he told me he had the previous district where his assistant was 10,000, we started pursuing it. And anytime you're the AASA Superintendent of the Year in a district, I think we should at least go a little further and look at him. Frank Bush says he is one of the best candidates he has ever been around. He said he admires him very much. He said the superintendents in the state admire him very much. He said that he has all the qualities that you would want in a good superintendent. He says his biggest problem in being living there is he doesn't want him to leave. He said he is a perfect superintendent. He is very good with student achievement. He is excellent with the school board. He does well in a high-profile district. Purdue University is located in this school district. So obviously there's a little difference there of the type of students you're going to get and everything with the college being right there. But he said because of that, he says he's got a lot of people that know more about running a school district than he does that lives there. And he's able to communicate with them very well if in that particular university setting. It's sort of like being in Tallahassee or Gainesville. You know, he's sort of, you know, there's a lot of people there that know how to run the school system. Everything. None of them sit on the school board, or none of them are superintendents. So he has the same situation. He has the same situation in Purdue that you would have if you were superintendent of Lateral County. I'll put it like that because it's a small district with a number of students there. He said, and this is a direct quote, if that board interviews him, he will blow their socks off, and they will not be disappointed. Superintendent of the Year in Indiana, as I said. He's a former music major. He really enjoys music. He does that as a hobby. He connects well with kids and parents. He's in the schools all the time. He is everywhere. It's one of the top districts in the state, as I said. He got irritated with all the negative stuff about public education. And when I cut a video about what's basically, if you say what's right for public education, he went out and hit it. I don't know if you've seen the video, but if you've seen the video, it's terrific. And it's a PR thing that a lot of superintendents and a lot of districts in the state started emulating, and I think that's part of the reason he sort of became a high-profile superintendent of the year, as he just stepped out front and says, folks, public education is not hurting. We're doing a good job, and here's why. And he went in and stepped out front on that. He's got national recognition because of that. Great personality. Absolutely. Frank says he's as good with the media as anybody's ever seen. He said he's the best media superintendent he's ever worked with. Works well with the school board, got no negatives from the school board. I asked him, why did he want to leave? And, you know, that's a good question. You know, he said, well, you know, he says, I've been here for a while, I've done some things, I don't think I can do anything else here, and I'm ready to go somewhere else for another challenge. And so I asked Frank Bush, the former Indiana guy, the same thing. He said, yeah, that's it. Thus, he's ready to go do some other things out there because he's peaked out. He feels he's peaked out there in that particular district. So I think if you brought him here, that would be what he would be doing. He says he needs new challenges. He's a hard worker, and he also knows curriculum and school finance. He said he is very broad and understands both issues as far as academics and the business side, and we don't get a lot of those. A lot of what you have is sometimes people are strong in one and they have to recognize they need to bring somebody in to help them in the other area. But I recommend that he stay in our top eight at this time. Phyllis Edwards is my next candidate. Phyllis has a weak resume. When you look at the resume, At first, I looked at that resume and I said, you know, this is nothing. But she's been a superintendent. She worked 20 years in Flagler County, which means she's familiar with Florida as assistant superintendent. That's not that far from here. And she knows the Treasure Coast and those kind of things. And then she's been 12 years in Decatur. And so I called her. First of all, I called my counterpart in Georgia, who is Sis Henry. And immediately when I talked to Sis, she says, and Georgia has 185 districts. And Sis said, before I went any further, I said, I'm calling about Phyllis Edwards. She said, Wayne, she's one of the top two or three superintendents in Georgia. Before I said anything else, I said, well, at that point, let me take a look at this, you know, and we followed up. Her resume does not match up with all the other resumes, I'll tell you that. But because I've got that kind of information on her, because she's a sitting superintendent for 12 years, and because she already has Florida experience, I started following up and talking to some people. I talked to some of her board members, and I talked to Phyllis on occasion, and she too said she's ready to come home. She said, I'm ready to come back to Florida. I enjoy being in Florida. And here are some of her attributes that numerous people told me. Outstanding, hardworking, smart, dedicated educator, one of the most outstanding education leaders they've ever worked with. Really keeps her eye on the budget. They said she really watches the budget. Her board loves her. In fact, I talked to one of her board members who was no longer on the board, a former board member, but she was on the board when they hired her, and they have stayed in touch with everybody else. And she said she's really good. She handles hot political issues well. I'll go to that in just a second. And to the point that people were saying, you know, this isn't the right thing to do. She hung tough and made it through it. This is some rezoning and some changing of some schools, and I'll tell you about that in a second. She is a, quote, real deal. She's a true leader. She is humble. They said that, you know, she's not out there to seek the limelight, but she gets everything done. Her staff loves her very much. She could probably retire up there and stay there forever now. The board has said they would keep her until she retires. She says she wants to come home. She says she's ready to do some other things and have some more challenges. Now, and if you talk about challenges, when She got there, she told me, she said, Wayne, they were operating in the 1950s. She said that school buildings were in disarray. She said they were terrible. There was hardly any technology. She said this school system was like something you'd seen in Florida in 1950. And here we were, you know, and she went up there in 2000, in the year 2002. She said, so we had to move it forward in a lot of different ways. So what that entailed is she closed a couple of elementary schools, which was extremely controversial, and rezoned the entire district and built a new school. And that really created a lot of problems. And that's where I said she hung tough to do the right thing. And there were people saying, she's got to go. You can't, you know the deal. If you close an elementary school, you close a high school, you know, what happens? If it's one that they went to and their children went to and all that. And she hung tough on that. She, anyway, she got rezoned. Then she got the Department of Justice to let them go unitary, which made their rezoning easier, as you well know. And I don't know if this district's still under your DSEG order or your unitary.
No.
You're still under DSEG.
Yes.
But she was able to go unitary, and that made her everything. And she's built onto some of the schools, remodeled all the schools, and did some things that made the parents a little happier when they closed their schools and ended up knowing their kids were going to go to a better physical school than what they were in. Based on that and the fact she has been a 12-year superintendent and she has Florida experience, we put her in our top eight. Dr. Helen Weil is next. Oops, you have her resume. Okay, Bill can talk about her.
Going back about 20 years, one of the school board members in St. Lucie, your next-door neighbor, told me that Dr. Weil was a guidance counselor for one of her children 20 years ago. And so the feedback that I got on her goes back for that length of time. She's been a player in public education for quite a while. She gave birth to Treasure Coast High School, 2,500 students. And I can tell you from all the schools we built while I was a school board member, if you're the principal before it comes out of the ground, you have a monumental task, not just to recruit and manage the people, but you've got to be overseeing the construction and these days the integration of your intended programmatic goals into the design. So you're there with the architects with a pencil and a piece of paper before anything even starts. And you get up to your ears in capital budget management, in addition to every principal has to manage an operational budget for staffing, supplies, and so forth. But it's an education in and of itself to be the first principal at a school that it's built from square one. When her current district, St. Lucie, was dissatisfied with Florida Virtual, her superintendent gave her the task of creating their own virtual, and she collaborated with a couple of other districts and gave birth to their own regional virtual school. So she's been a leader in innovative technology during the entire time she's been there. She has taught school administrative management for Florida Atlantic University, which means in that particular course you have to get into that alphabet soup thing called the FEFP and be able to explain that to people, which I would still find that to be a challenge even after all these years, because it becomes a moving target. You know, you throw in a few new categoricals, take out a few old ones, allegedly fold something into the base student allocation, and people wonder, is it really there or not? Like that teacher pay raise that was put in a couple of years ago. So when you teach that, you have to really understand what you're doing. And she's good at, of course, as a high school principal, you have to have the skills of building your calendar, which is a challenge, and also your master schedule of who's teaching what, when, where, what day of the week, and how many students do you have. So she's managed that, and she has senior management, central office, she's experienced, she's collaborative, she's well respected by her peers, and with the size of the district, I think she's fully capable and ready to be a superintendent in a district of comparable size here in the state of Florida. She's got all the requisite work experience.
Andrew has a comment.
Yes, if you were looking for Dr. Wild's background, most of her career was spent as Dr. Helen Roberts. She only recently was married and got the name Wild. So if you were trying to find stuff and had a hard time, that would be why.
Mr. Chairman, that is where we came to the conclusion that these are our top eight candidates. At this point, we're willing to discuss any and all candidates with you and work with you toward narrowing the process down to the candidates that you would like to interview, and we'd be glad to entertain any questions at this time.
Okay. Dr. Plant, I'm not sure if we want to start having board members ask questions and discuss these particular candidates, because I know there are other candidates out there that we want to know what you found out and discuss
sure.
another thing. So
sure.
why don't we do that at this time?
That's fine.
We have a starting point. If we decide as a group there are people we want to add to it, this list can grow. And then we can start narrowing that down and get down to our
yes.
Okay? Again, we're going to be kind of informal here, but we'll just start on the end. Sean, is there anybody that you wanted to ask? And I'll be up before we start all this process. I can tell you, I started out with a list of 13. The other day, I finally, a couple days ago, narrowed it down to five, like my top five. And I can tell you, no kidding, all five of my top five are on that board
okay.
right now. So
okay.
We may see a little bit of that, so hopefully we won't come up with 69 people to try to interview.
Hope not, but logistics, if you have a candidate, would you please tell us the folder number, so we can just pull that real quick?
We can go in order. Sean, you want to discuss it? Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get some kind of order. We'll just work our way down.
Thank you for the presentation. It's clear you've done a lot of research. I just wonder about, the lack of local. I thought the board kind of felt as though we're status quo, but these are excellent candidates. Were there any concerns with candidate 67, Mr. Lynch from St. Lucie County?
Well, you had, if I could, Mr. Chairman, you had five local candidates in this search, and three of them serve in your central office, and more or less. And we looked at them, and we looked at their credentials against the field as a whole, and we did not feel that those three internal candidates matched these particular candidates. I believe, and this is editorial, I believe that your internal candidates in two or three more years with some more experience, you have a set that are ready to be superintendents. But I think at this point, when you look at sitting superintendents, deputy superintendents that have a broad experience, you look at the superintendent of the year, you look at the superintendent with 12 years, they did not quite get there.
Let me respond specifically. You're asking about John Lynch?
Yes.
St. Lucie?
Number 67.
Yeah.
Yes.
I talked to several people about him. They were all complimentary, and they've all said that he's a rising star and not quite ready.
Yeah.
That was the bottom line, that every one of them said they see him as a future potential superintendent.
Okay.
But they said not quite ready.
Okay. He was strong on papers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Another board member, I'm sorry, if we go through these, feel free, we can, again, we're talking about adding to our starting list, so if you have anything to add. I know the one thing about, I think it's Mr. Lynch, I don't believe it's Dr. Lynch, right?
Right.
It's Mr. Lynch, yeah. I got several phone calls from people I really like and admire and respect on Mr. Lynch's behalf. That's the one thing that kind of made me, you know, want to know a little bit more about him, but... Yeah, Ms. Madison?
Yeah, I actually had four out of the ones that you presented to us, and Mr. Lynch was one of the ones that did not make that list. The other person that I was very surprised that didn't make your list was number 53, Dewey Pensley from Louisville, Kentucky. He serves a school district of over 100,000 students as their chief academic officer. His ability to turn around schools led him to be promoted to working in the state, and the Wallace Foundation did a study on effective leadership and turnaround, and Mr. Hensley was profiled in that study as an example of what happens when you can turn around schools. What appealed to me about him, he didn't have superintendent experience, but as a chief academic officer for over 100,000 students, he has a lot of the skill set that a superintendent, especially one with a school district of 17,000, would need. What really impressed me about him is his ability to close the achievement gap, his district percent proficiency profile for combined math and reading was quite impressive. All the board members did receive a copy of that document from the Wallace Foundation and the data from his district. And I think that a person with that ability and that has shown that he can turn schools around is exactly the kind of person, and one that can work on that achievement gap, is exactly the kind of person that we need in Indian River County. So I'd like to know why he did not make your list.
Well, in looking at and doing some of the background on him, it was strictly academic, and the fact that he also had in his academic career has been very large urban districts, and in my eyes, and you know we can differ on this, and you and I have done that on occasion, but in my eyes, it's very difficult to have a district of 100,000 students and be the chief academic officer and be a deputy superintendent, and in all due respect, Indian River, come down here to a district of 17,000, 16,000 students that's different than and make and have the same fit. If I were doing the search for Orange County or Hillsborough County, he'd be in my top five. But I think that when you know, I'm not saying you agree or disagree with me, but I've done a lot of searches, and I find that big district people have a lot of trouble coming down to a smaller district, just like the smaller, real small districts have trouble. You know, you can't take a district of 4,000 or 5,000 and say you're going to be superintendent of Hillsborough. I looked at that very closely, and that was my cutting point. That was my cutting line on that. Has he got a great resume? Absolutely. Could he do it here? I'm not sure. You go into an administration building in Hillsborough where they got 300 administrators. I'm just, you know, guessing, but it's close. They got 300 administrators, and then you come here where you know everybody by the first name. I think the shift is pretty difficult to make. Doesn't mean you should not interview this person. Don't get me wrong. I'm just giving you Wayne's opinion of what I've seen over the years. And yes, it's a good, great resume, and he's and everything. But I cut him out on my end for that reason, because of the difference in the sizes.
Dale?
I was also wondering if we could, that was not one on my list, but I appreciate the input.
Dale, can you speak in the microphone?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I moved it from all the flipping. I was wondering, since we are, you know, my five are up there, can we put checks as we go along?
Well, we will. We will. But right now, what we're trying to do with some check, I'm sorry, is we want to, we've got eight up there that our consultants brought to us. We want to know, is there board consensus to add more to that?
I'm going to ask the question then. I'm going to ask, could you explain why Dr. Wayne Alexander didn't make the list?
What number is that?
And I tell you what, just before, was there any more discussion?
Mr. Dewey?
On Mr. Dewey? Anybody else? Dr. Hensley?
Number 3.
Did anybody? Oh. I mean, I don't
know. Wayne Alexander?
Yeah, and I just want to say that I did investigation, although online media were not kind to him. I spoke to a current sitting council member who had not served with him, but talked to two council members who served with him. And regarding the issue of changing residency, Bolt said that they were quite aware of his personal situation and that he turned their school from an F to an A and it hasn't seen it since in Hernando County and on and on. Now, I know the media sometimes gets it right and sometimes doesn't. So I was satisfied with that, and that was even before I called the applicant. So I called the applicant, and I was pleased with his resume. So just your thoughts.
I cut Dr. Alexander out, and I'll tell you why. I did the search that brought Dr. Alexander over to Florida when he came down from Connecticut, Massachusetts. And when Dr. Alexander came down, he was divorced. And during that process of getting remarried, and his fiancée, later to be wife, lived in Massachusetts, there was a custody battle, and she found out that she could not bring the kids within outside of 250 miles of the ex status, I guess. That's okay. I know I'm getting into some personal stuff, but I have to explain it to you because I cut Dr. Alexander out myself. Now, you know, having a lot of discussion with these individuals, they know why. Now, when Dr. Alexander had been there 2.5 years, and Wayne and I got to be friends, trust me, he was a fun guy. I liked being around him. At 2.5 years, he applied for a superintendency up there, and he did not tell his board, okay? And so he didn't get it. And so his board was furious with him because in his contract it says that upon application for another job, he's supposed to, you know, tell the board. So the board chairman called me, and I called Wayne. I said, Wayne, you know, we can't have that. And, you know, if you're going to be moving, we need to know it, because I really wanted him to stay in Florida for a length of time. He said, I understand. I made a mistake. It won't happen again. It happened again. The second time, he didn't tell his board that he was applying up there, and he got the job. And the board did not know it. And I cut him out on the fact, and right here in my notes, it says, problem with misleading the school board in Hernando on job search. Good superintendent, family issue led to leaving. He misled his board twice. I cut him out. As simple as that, Mr. Chairman. If you want to put him in, that's fine. I like him. He was a good superintendent. But when you mislead your board and they told you once, that he, and I can get by with once maybe, but when you do it the second time, I believe he... that's not what you want.
And that satisfies me because I only spoke to 2 board members. Both were clear that he let them know every step of the way where they were at. There are 5 board members. So, you know, that being said, you know, maybe he didn't make it clear.
He was a really good superintendent. And what I was hoping he would do, perfectly honest, is stay in Hernando 5 or 6 years and maybe move up to a bigger district in Florida. That was really his game plan at one point. But it just didn't work out that way. And if someone's going to mislead their board, I'm not real keen on putting them in Wayne FSBA's top 5.
Right. And board members, as we go through these candidates at this process, if there's support for adding them to, for a possible interview, we need to hear that now. Is there any further discussion on Dr. Alexander? Is there anybody who thinks he might rise to the level of interviewing? We can't take a vote, but we need some kind of consensus, and I'm not seeing that right now. Is that true, Ms. Jimenez?
Can you ask that same question for Mr. Henry?
That's what I was going back. I was trying to get in there to do that earlier, and I apologize. I was actually trying. We moved on before I could. At this point, I wanted to go back and with Dr. Hensley. He did not make my top 13. And again, discussion is always good. You know, one of the criteria that I used, and it's not hard and fast because you have to read everything, but if somebody was coming from out of state and they weren't a superintendent, you know, I deal with assistant superintendents, deputy superintendents in Florida who have a lot of Florida experience, or somebody who's a very good and very experienced superintendent coming down from Florida, where I kind of had, again, we got 69 of them, you got to have dividing lines. One of my dividing lines was, they're from out of state, don't have any Florida experience, and not a proven superintendent. He didn't make my original top 13. Is there anybody else that wants to discuss Dr. Hensley? Is there any support?
I like that he had the achievement gap experience. That's important.
But
the other factors?
Can I ask for the process? Because I'm moving forward in a spirit of fair discussion. Just to get the name to the board, I wouldn't mind putting the name on the board if this is for a later discussion.
If enough people think that there is a possibility that we might interview this person, by all means, we can have Dr. Blanton.
I don't know if anybody else wants to look at other candidates, but I've got a suggestion right now.
Okay.
I'd like to see how many of these match up with yours right now, if I can. Let me try this.
Are you talking about eliminating some of these offhand?
I'm trying to see, as far as narrowing candidates to interview, let me take a shot at this, Mr. Chairman.
Please do.
How many, by hand vote, and so somebody can record it, how many of these had her as one of your finalists? Okay.
How many had Mark Rendell as one of your finalists? How many had Dr. Rodriguez as one of your finalists?
Three.
How many had Dr. David Christensen as one of your finalists? How many had Scott Howard as one of your finalists? How many had Rocky Kalan as one of your finalists? How many had Dr. Phyllis Edwards as one of your finalists?
Two.
How many had Dr. Helen Wild as one of your finalists?
Four.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if I'm reading this right, all of you would like to interview this gentleman here. Mm-hmm. If I'm reading this right, four of the five would like to interview this individual. The only other person with majority vote is Dr. Rodriguez. Now, you may have some others that you want to add or subtract and everything. And if you say by majority vote, then at this moment you're three candidates. And you may have some others that fit that you want to talk about.
Exactly. The only thing is, you know, I came up with my five before hearing your input. I did not give much credence, if you will, to Mr. Howard, hearing what you had to say and the reasons you made your comment. I'm actually, you know, I'm just saying that five is a moving target. That five I had coming in here.
Yeah, it is.
And so I think, you know, we still need to go through and talk about candidates that are not on that board and see if there is support for putting them on the board. Also, there may be maybe discussion on people who are on that board who are not currently circled.
Right.
Yes. So I'm not sure at this point, you know, if we should continue the discussions of folks who were not mentioned by you, see if there's support for further discussion, or if we want to go back and readdress some of these folks.
Yeah, and the second part of this, you could say, okay, are there any others that you would like on that list that you'd like to interview, or do you want to add, and then you go down and look at the others?
I think we need to go through the other candidates, see if there's anybody else we want to go in there. Then we have a list, keeping all, forgetting who your top five were coming into this. Then we come through with the thing.
That's fine. That,
okay. Sean, do you have something?
I was just wondering if it would be practical in other searches in which I've been involved. Sometimes we do, we don't go through the full expense of the full-blown interview, but we do a phone interview or a phone screener. Is there...
The problem is we have a sunshine law thing.
But, I mean, we could do it from here, couldn't we? Or
I don't know.
Or Skype?
That's probably...
Yes, absolutely. If you wanted to do some sort of a public interview electronically, just like from time to time when we've had a board member who couldn't physically be present, we've done electronic communication for that individual to call in. So certainly.
So I think the answer is it's possible if we decide we get that.
And that's what I was wondering. If maybe we have because the field is thick. It's a good field.
Yeah.
So if we get, those that are maybes, perhaps that we set aside a morning and do four of those rather than getting down to the full.
Those logistics, let's go through those at some point. Okay. Dale?
I was just going to input. Right now, I don't see that that's necessary. Maybe later down, but we've only circled three popular votes here. So I don't see that's necessary now. And are we going on with new, just as we progress, new candidates?
I believe so. I do not see any support for Dr. Alexander making the big board with Mel Kiper. We did have a question about Dr. Hensley. We had some discussion. He would not make my for the reasons I gave. Is there any support for adding him? I mean, I don't miss him. Anybody else have anybody?
I'll put him up with a number two.
Mr. Searcy, is there anybody that you wanted to discuss?
I've got several that are not on that list. You just want the names out?
Yeah, a number of names.
Number four, Hensley. Number 49. You say four?
Number four is Dr.
And
Tim Wild.
49.
4.
49.
Tim Wilder.
Yep.
You want the name first?
Well, we need to go over them one by one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dr. Wilder first.
Okay.
He was actually on my list also.
Tim Wilder, I know personally. He's been in the office. He was superintendent of schools in Gulf County, Florida, which is Port St. Joe, a district of about 3,000 students. He was an elected superintendent. He left there and went to Dothan, Alabama. He became superintendent in Dothan.
Hired or elected?
Huh?
Hired superintendent or elected superintendent?
Appointed.
Appointed. Yeah.
Appointed. He was elected in Gulf County. And while he was an elected superintendent, midway through his second term, he got the job in Dothan, Alabama, for a bigger district, and it's an appointed district. He was accused of sexual harassment in Dothan. He is currently in litigation with the board. I believe it could go either way, and he's in negotiations right now with the board on the buyout of his contract. He has retained an attorney, and they're in the process of looking at where they are. I believe with the accusations of the sexual harassment and the resolution, which has not been formally voted on by the board at this point, I did a lot of research on this because I know Tim, and I like Tim Wilder, don't get me wrong. I worked with him as a superintendent. But I believe with everything that sits around him right now, with the litigation with the board, trying to clear up his name and the sexual harassment stuff, which I think he'll probably be successful at, but at this moment, you've got all that stuff sitting there on top of him. And so the alleged misconduct with an employee, the 10th pending lawsuit, and those kind of things, I did not include him. There's just too many ifs out there right now.
I noticed that just about every candidate that you listed up here, you had these real flowery words about how great they were and energetic and all of that. Aside, putting those issues you just mentioned aside, what would you say about this gentleman? Eliminating those charges, supposed charges. I mean, he was a superintendent of the year, principal of the year, an outstanding person, and I've done some research on the gentleman too, and the folks in Alabama told me that we didn't hire him, we were crazy.
Yeah.
And we're crazy anyway, I think.
He was a good superintendent. Don't get me wrong. He was a good superintendent. He was a good superintendent for 6 years in Gulf County, and he was a good superintendent in Dothan and everything. And Tim has sat in my office, and we have gone through this. Mm-hmm. He very much wants to come back to Florida. Mm-hmm. I'd like to bring him back to Florida. But until some of those things, and there's no downside to him. He was a principal. He was very well liked. Obviously, you get elected two terms in there. It was a small district, 3,000 students, but he was still good. His father was a superintendent down there for 20-plus years. I knew his father also and everything. All I'm saying is if he can get this stuff cleared up, he would be an excellent candidate. If this was not sitting over his head, he'd have made the cut. But when it's sitting over your head there and you get down here to be superintendent and it blows up on top of you, I don't think I'm doing the proper service to you as your consultant. And no, he's a good superintendent. He had good academic achievement. There's no downside to his professional qualities. He's got some issues there.
And those charges are accusations.
Huh?
Those charges are accusations. I mean, that's an easy thing. A very easy thing to do to charge somebody with sexual harassment or whatever harassment.
I have really done a lot of research on this. Okay. I've probably done as much research on this as anything because I like him and I know that someday we'll get him back in Florida. But you've got to get it cleared up one way or the other before I can come forward to a board, any board, and say, this is there. If you hired someone, just theoretically, if you hired someone and then later sexual harassment blew up and we knew this and you hired this, and I'll give you an example. It happened to us in Alachua County. We hired a guy from Ohio, which I recommend the board not hire. They hired him anyway. I recommended it because I heard some things, but I also knew the district was like 5,000 students and he was coming to Alachua with 30,000. And he got caught up in a big sexual harassment issue in Alachua County. They fired him after 2 years. And But when you started checking back and saying, you know, let's don't do this right now, but they hired him anyway. And so I have been, I'm gun shy in the fact that they, I've seen one district do it. Until you get this cleared up, and I've told Tim this, I've told him right in my office, Tim, till this is cleared up, I can't in good conscience go before a board and say this is not a problem. And who was the other one, sir?
Well, hang on a minute. We're going to talk about Dr. Wilder and figure out if we want to do anything.
I just want to say publicly, and I would not move Dr. Wilder, but I called Dr. Wilder up, and I watched the whole video of the thing. I truly feel that he will be... I watched the whole thing, and I do feel that he will clear his name. I hope he does clear his name.
He is back
in Florida right now with his father. He's been released from his contract. He's been here since November or December.
Yeah.
He's a very fine, just as you said, but I had encouraged him to call Dr. Blanton, and he is understanding that until he gets this behind him, clears his name, he knows that in good conscience. So he was flattered with the call, and he kind of understands where a board would be at. But I agree, those attributes shine through on his resume. When I called him, he was forthcoming with that, and so I feel that was an integrity as well. But I agree that he is a good candidate for someone at some time. I don't see it now with the reasons that Dr. Blanton, but I want to publicly say that I did felt he was a really good candidate.
Well, I'm known Tim a long time. He's a friend. I'd love to put him in your search, but I just can't do that right at this moment. If you want to put him in and let that be explained to you in public, it's fine with me. Because he is a good superintendent, but you just got this other thing sitting there.
Well, we're looking for a good superintendent.
We're just talking.
I mean, after you ask the questions, and I'm telling you my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
We're good. Yeah.
You had another one.
Any further on Dr. Wilder? I mean, I kind of, my personal thought is,
I had that
word cleared up. I don't think there's, because he's on my sheet too. So, but all right, Mr. Chair, see anybody else?
49. Bruce Green.
I thought 49 was Tim Wilder.
On my list, it's 49. Bruce Green.
49.
Couldn't be wrong.
No, I wrote 49, so I must have heard you say 49 talking about this next candidate. I'm sorry.
Did you go to Florida State or
Iowa State? All right. Okay. All right. I see how this is going.
Well, I probably can't tell you more about 49 than you already know. He is one of your internal candidates. My personal opinion, and I've talked to some folks down here, he is a few years away from being and getting a broader experience and being ready for being a superintendent. You had three candidates, internal candidates, that in my opinion, they're all like this. They're all about even. They're good candidates, don't get me wrong. They're all about even. But when you go to the fact that there are other candidates here, that their qualifications, I believe, exceed where your current internal candidates are, we did not put them in the search. We can't tell you more about your internal candidates than you already know. If you as a board decide you want to interview one, two, or three, it's fine. I mean, I've had boards do that. When Wayne Gent was selected as superintendent of Palm Beach, we brought them four candidates. They interviewed the four, and they turned to Wayne Gent, who was interim, and said, we like our guy better. So, it's your decision how you get there at the end and everything. But we did not feel that your internal candidates, including Bruce Green, did not rise to the level of what the other candidates are. Remember I told when I started this, I said, this is the most talented pool I've ever had in a search. Mm-hmm. You can see where we're going right now. It's very, very difficult and everything. We did not feel in looking at your candidates versus the others that their qualifications were at the same level.
Dale? I would have to say that I interviewed all and spoke to all internal candidates. I have not spoke to Chris Rock. I did leave a message. I spoke to the two teachers that had the doctorates but did not have the administration. But I also did interview personally with the three assistant superintendents. I would say that I would, in regards to Mr. Green, that as a district, any district, I feel that you should offer career ladders. I also feel that continuity, personal relationships that come from within, come with community member, come with just being in the area, is to an advantage. That has some weight. With whether it's veterans points get five, community, whatever, get it, that carries weight with me, with Mr. Green. Some of his shortcomings, which I've, and I don't want to even say that, some things that he does not possess is the doctorate, some things that he does not possess and he knows is that he has never been a principal. So what does he do? Go back and be a principal so that he could say he was a principal? I don't know that that's necessary. But that would be, I feel, as an internal candidate, of all the internal candidates, that made my top five because of his charisma, his community involvement. Fourth generation something has, he knows all the names. There's a great thing. Is he ready? I'm not sure. Am I ready to make an interview of the top five? That I would. So I would throw that out, that I would be willing to give an interview to Mr.
Carter.
Yeah, well, I kind of had the same experience. I looked at all the candidates, and out of all the internals, obviously Mr. Green for me was also the top of the three, but I would not recommend interviewing him because as much as he has that charisma and he's in the system, we want someone that is qualified and has the type of experience that we need, not just in one department. This is a bigger responsibility. So I know that a lot of people have run on this and have publicly stated that they would prefer an internal candidate. I think that the most important thing for us to do as board members is to assess the skill set that they bring and how it will come through for our school district. And I think Mr. Green has potential, but I don't think he's ready, and I don't think that we are ready to take a risk with someone that doesn't have the depth and breadth of experience that is needed to run a school district. And I would, ask my colleagues to really think that through, because an internal candidate is not always the best. There's a lot of the good old boy situation that goes on. There's a lot of inability when you're internal to make the difficult decisions that you need to make because you know these people and they're your friends. And that's not what leadership is about. Leadership is about making the difficult choices. So for those reasons and just the lack of experience, he's a wonderful person. He has tremendous potential. But right now, our children deserve the most qualified candidate, not just an internal candidate because we have one.
Can I clearly respond? I did find his experience valuable. I also do agree. I have gotten lots of calls that do not want some from. I mean, I didn't pick Mr. Green because, in fact, that's very hard because of nepotism and friendships, those things. But my answer would also be I am concerned about an outside candidate because every time I look at an outside candidate, I see movement. 2 years here, 2 years there, 3 years here. So I agree with you. As I said, I'm not sure about Mr. Green and I'm not sure about the rest, but I wanted to, if there was someone from within that I was going to push forward, it would be Mr. Green. And a lot of those things were because he's bought into the community. He wants to make a difference in his community. he's not going anywhere. These other people might be climbing up ladders, and it's like city managers. Okay, now I'm in a city of 22,000, but I really want to be at 80,000, and it has a utility. So, you know, that's what I was, you know what I'm saying? So that was my concern. I agree with you exactly, because that's the conversation I had with Mr. Green. How can you lead when you weren't a principal? And yet I had principals as references for him. So I don't know that he will in the end shake out, but if there was one person from within based on all that and based on that movement and based on, because we could get these other people in and say, wow, and look and seriously and say, is this person here in the, at least for the 6 to 8 years that you need to make a difference, or in 3 years will they be out of here? In 2 years will they be out of here when the next offer comes? So that's my thought pattern, only because I felt that important enough with his experience in developing software for 18 school districts and other things, but we all know his qualifications. You know, I just felt that it was worth a look in the when we get down to the interview. I know we had said 5. I didn't know if we were going to go to 6. I didn't know if we'd even come up with 3. So I don't know if we haven't come up with our 5 yet. But I would like to at least get him on the board just for all those reasons. And then if it doesn't shake out in the end, we don't have consensus, that's fine with me. And that's probably the most you'll hear me say at this point on that candidate.
Sean?
Yeah, well, he was also on my list of maybes. You know, I had a lot of maybes. The main reason that he was on my list was because I had to follow him at the science fair presentations, and he is dynamic. He is a very good speaker,
yes,
and he knows his tech like anything else. So he's also the head of tech and assessment, which may be sort of important in the coming years. So if you read the headlines yesterday. So that was my thing. And also the fact that he does have deep roots. I definitely understand that he's, you know, that there are on paper better qualified external candidates, but we also have a millage that we'll have to have re-approved soon. So perhaps having someone in the community who has that maybe of some help, not that someone from outside can't, but that was sort of my thinking along those lines. So
well, if you think about it, he really is from out of town. He's from Fells.
That's true.
I mean, you know,
I just see the kind of seats.
I see who your stand-up comic is on the board.
But you know what? We're looking for a leader. This guy has proven himself to be a leader. He's strong, and nobody's going to disagree with him. If you see the size of this gentleman, you're just not going to do it. But, you know, we can't get the perfect person from somewhere else. And even though, I don't know if any of these may be ready for retirement, I don't want to get somebody that's going to be with us for 2 years and is in drop or whatever. That doesn't make sense. We've got a long way to go, and we need somebody that's full of energy, understands entrepreneurship, and I think this gentleman does. There's too many things that are right about him. And I want to look at him, and even though he is from out of town, it's close out of town.
Yeah, before we move on from Bruce, I just wanted to give my 2 cents.
Go ahead.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. All right. In terms of the internal candidates, back in 2011, we had one internal candidate, and that was Dr. Adams. And we went through the same situation with about 40 resumes, and hers went right to the top. I mean, just doing the exercise, the mathematics. So there was no doubt. And I was fine with that because I knew, you know, she would be one of the top, and plus there was only one. This is a little different because we've got 3, and they don't, resumes only, they don't go right to the top. The only thing, we kid all the time because last time we got down to Fran and Wayne Jent. And the actual vote, I actually voted for Wayne. Fran reminds me of that every now and then. It's a true story. because I got it down to we got down to the last 2 that I wanted, and I didn't care at that point. We were splitting hairs. I'm very hesitant. And again, I love me some Bruce Green. I think the world of Bruce. Number one, since we have 3, to only interview 1. You know, you can't worry about her feelings when you're looking for a leader. But you know, that would be something.
if Bruce were in, had Fran's resume and you knew he was a strong candidate and knew he was going to be in your top two or three, that's one thing, but, you know, do you really want to put Bruce through the interview process if down deep you know that in all probability, interviews being equal, you're probably going to go with somebody else? Does anybody understand what I'm kind of feeling?
You already know you're going to go with somebody else?
No. I'm saying things, resumes only, and all interviews are the same. You know, I just don't want to put Bruce through the whole dog and pony show if his resume is not up to that point where...
We're not going to hire him on resume.
I understand that. I'm just telling you how I feel.
Okay.
Dale?
I took the time. I don't know about anyone else here, but I took the time and I sat with the three assistant superintendents. So there was a personal interview. And so, as I said, Mr. Green is the only one that rose to the top. And I'll say this because you see that it's 5-0. I did it. Stand out outside, Dr. Mark Randell. Stand out inside, Bruce Green. So I'm just saying it just depends. So just in case for the movement, I've seen Mr. Green like this. I have not seen Mr. Rendell or any of the others. That's the only reason why, because I would hate to go through the whole process and say, well, you know, we just cut off any chance of an interior career ladder based on, you know, but as I said, based on resumes, that's the one, you know, that and the dynamic. And so that's the only, I agree with you, but I did do a face-to-face with all three. So in the comment to, well, we have all three, I did the homework on the three, and only one I can move forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bruce is on the board, so we'll discuss it further. Okay. Yeah, we want to take about a 5-10 minute break.
Everybody? Just up to you.
I think everybody's about ready.
That'd be great, Mr.
Okay. I was starting to get some looks out at the end.
Us older guys always take a break, you know?
Point. I assume we're still. Are there any more candidates that anybody wants to bring up for discussion for possible addition to our list at this point? I guess Dr. Plant. The only question I just had, and this is just, and I don't expect him to be added to the list because of the size of the district he's coming from. But I realize, did I read it right that number 15, Dr. James Capolupo, is the reigning national superintendent of the year?
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, from Pennsylvania.
He is the...
I just wonder if we knew anything about him.
If you read that resume very closely, mm-hmm. he is the superintendent of the year for the American Association of School Superintendents.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Not American Association of School Administrators. The school, you know, when we elect our superintendent of the year...
Yeah.
And we honor them, you know, at the December conference, and then they go on to be the national, you know, to take part in the national. That is AASA. We can't find a lot on the American Association of School Superintendents. The AASA superintendent, you know, we've had a couple of superintendents from Florida win that at the national meeting, but that American Association of School Superintendents can't find much out about the organization. It's not AASA.
Yeah, I was just curious.
It's not the same as the other superintendent of the year. It's the one that we know, that we recognize.
All right. The only other one, I mean, there's more on my list, but I just don't know that they're going to be there. The only other one was one that Mr. Frost brought up was John Lynch, and I think we've already addressed him. Did we have any traction there or not really?
He was on my list, too.
On your list?
What? No.
He is number 67. He's an assistant superintendent in St. Louis County. So do we want to add him to the list or no? It's fine if we go either way. Just to see where we are. Is there anybody else that anybody wants to discuss that has not been
discussed? It's Dr. Lynch, right?
No, it's Mr.
John
Lynch.
He's
number 67, yes, ma'am. really seeing anything, Dr. Blanton, I think. For better or worse, that is our list at this point.
Let me, go ahead.
Just one observation and a confession.
Remember, the press is in the room. So.
Yes, I understand. But this is all documented, so it's nothing new. I think the chairman made a comment that hit home with me a little while ago. If someone comes here from out of state and they've never been a superintendent before, there's a monumentally steep learning curve. It's not impossible, but it's a challenge. And the other thing that I would say, as you all probably know, that people who would put themselves forward to be a superintendent have to have a certain amount of ego, and sometimes that grows over time. So even though you think that you have found someone who's superb and you all are going to be on a honeymoon in perpetuity, this thing comes along, and this is where I confess. It's just like in sports in America. If the superb team that wins the World Series or the Super Bowl has dynamite players, other people try to steal them. And I'm going to confess that once upon a time in Florida, there's a person that got superintendent of the year, and it wasn't in my district, and I went over and talked to that person to try to steal that person to come work in my district. And when people start thinking about retirement and more money, and, you know, you all understand how FRS works and all that kind of stuff, so just remember, notwithstanding your good intentions and dreams and fantasies, somebody might steal your favorite best player someday. And it's not your fault at all. And it's not their fault because they didn't come to you with the idea of every time I move, I want it to be 50,000 more students. It was just that, you know, over time, things changed and an opportunity presented itself.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you want to get to five or whatever. I do know, I think, sort of semi-agreed here that you want to talk to these three. I hear some other conversations here that you might want to interview an internal candidate and some others. And if you interview five, I'm just going to give you a magic number. It's not a magic number. If you interview five, that's fine. Four, there's no. I've done them four. I've done six. You know, and I've had districts interview as many as seven candidates at one time. What you've got right now is you've got three Floridians, and I'm prejudiced, I'll tell you. I said this in the workshop when we started, you know, when we had the workshop when I first get it. All things considered, you take an out-of-state person, in-state person, it's not even a decision. If they're even, you take the Floridian because they understand the FEFP as a rule, they understand the public records law, they understand collective bargaining, sunshine law, those kind of things. I'm prejudiced on that. But with that said, I don't want to particularly eliminate someone like some of these other out-of-state people. But if you have a number or that you want to start setting up interviews for, I'd like to get that now. So what, if you don't mind, let's just walk down these one more time and see where we are. Just on a hand vote like we did last time. How many people this time would like to consider interviewing John Lynch? This is the second go-round. Let me put them over here.
I'm sorry, Dr. Glenn. That was two.
I'm sorry, two. Okay. How many would like to interview Donna Caffrani?
I thought we already had her out.
Well, no. Well, I apologize. I didn't mean to jump on you there, Mr. Fishu. What we said is when we went through the first five,
yeah,
that was based on just what we had done internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we've gotten input from this, and we've had a little more discussion. We've heard discussion about these. And at this point also, when Dr. Blanton asks for a hand vote, if you have a question right there, you know,
yes,
this is not only a vote, but it's also a discussion.
Yeah.
So, I guess,
let me just,
Donna,
yeah,
is...
We'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you would like to interview Dr. Rendell.
Yes.
I'm assuming you'd like to interview Dr. Rodriguez. How many people would like to interview Dr. Christensen after we've had the discussions?
Could I just make a comment?
Yeah, sure.
You know, he's a person that has a lot, he has good experience, and Orange County, when I call different folks in Orange County, and I don't call their references, usually only I call other, I Google and I
call
figure out who
people,
else I
yeah.
should talk to, right? He is a very strong candidate, and I think we should maybe give him a chance. If you know, we only have two people, but he just has He's very responsive. The statistics that have resulted from his work are outstanding. He's very strong also on as chief academic officer on curriculum. He's very collaborative. He's good with the public. He's open-minded. He's confident. You know, I would ask the board members, you know, to just consider, since there were two, that...
And I was not one of those two, so
and I and Dr. Christian was on my top five list.
let me just get a head count real quick.
Three.
One, I see three, four.
Okay.
Talk to Dr. Christian. Scott Howard, after we've talked about it, anybody want to...
I think it'd be interesting.
I like him a whole lot more after hearing about him.
Yeah.
He was out of state?
No, he's in Orlando.
Orange County. Right. He works for the legislature.
Dr. Killian?
Before we move on, he was one of the people that made my top 10. But one of the things that I'm very cautious about with Mr. Howard, and I've had many opportunities to see him in action at Florida School Boards Association, he's very strong legislatively, and he's strong with the unions. But if you look at his resume, he doesn't really have the experience with curriculum and with education that a superintendent would have. His strength is legislative, and it's collective, it's the bargaining process. But is that really where we want our emphasis in a superintendent? And when I ask myself that question, I say no. I see other folks that have that greater breadth of experience that I think is what we need, because the legislative is wonderful, but that's not the focus of what our superintendent does. So I just wanted to put that out there, and that's the reason why I wouldn't want to spend...
And we had some of the same discussion among ourselves, to be honest, that he's limited in that, and he's good at that. He's very good at that. But there are some other gaps there that are not there. Rocky Killian, anybody want to see him?
Can I just make a comment on that, since no one else... You know, I saw the videos, I called him, I spoke to him, and one of the things that I found really interesting about the superintendent, I know that our board members that are charter advocates would not embrace him, but he really is supportive of choice and choice with accountability, and I was very impressed. He was quoted in the media with saying to parents, because they had the same fiasco that we had with the computers when they were testing them, and there were children crying, upset parents. And so when he was interviewed, he said to the media, he said, well, if parents are really frustrated, you know, these are their children, and we need to be responsive. So his response to the media was that he would recommend that the parents withdraw the children and homeschool. And so I called him up, and I said, Dr. Killian, what is up with that? You need to make sure that you are, you know, supporting all children, and even if you disagree, you have to abide by your state's mandates. And his response was, I didn't tell them to opt out, because if they opt out, they will affect the district, and they will affect the school. But if they withdraw their children from the school district, then it will not affect the school district and the school. And that really impressed me, because here is someone that in the face of all of this testing is willing to work within the system to speak up for what is right for children. And he's very dynamic. I really wish we would give him a chance. The same way we're giving Mr. Green a chance as an internal candidate, I think that his track record is such that we should be willing to have an open mind and interview him and try to get past our misconceptions because of his stance on charters with accountability, because I think that, you know, he could be amazing for this school district. So I just wanted to make sure I said that, because I know I'm the only one that is supportive of his.
How many people at this point
You know, one thing that he didn't make my top is because he has no Florida experience, correct?
Mm-hmm. I haven't, yeah, unqualified for some reason.
Yes, which?
He just had no Florida experience at all.
You might have also looked, he was in his district size is smaller, but his
district
assistant
is 2,250 students, because I specifically asked him, and the previous district was 10,000 where he was assistant superintendent. So it's a smaller district of being a superintendent, and it's, for lack of a better term, it's a pretty elite district. You remember when I said it's got Purdue University sits there, so it's not it's not your normal school district, let's put it that way. So how many would like to see him? How many would like to see Phyllis Edwards?
Helen.
We've got Helen. How many would like to see Dr. Hensley? How many would like to see Bruce Green?
Can I just say something? Because the way the process was unfolding, although Dr. Helen Wild made my list based on the other people, I don't know, we're going to keep chopping, because I was going to say I would withdraw Dr. Helen Wild.
Well, we can talk about Dr. Wild.
I mean, because you went over, because that, although there was four people that had it, and she was lower than the other ones that made my list and the ones that didn't make your list.
Well,
but
I skipped over her because she had four votes. We can come back.
Okay.
But I'm on Bruce Green right now. You got three of you would like to see Bruce Green. Is that correct? Okay. Dr. Wild, do you still want to see? How many want to see Dr. Wild? Three still want to see Dr. Wild.
A question.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. How long has she been in the education business? I don't remember that exactly.
You just she was a pretty good while.
One of the board members, I'd say next door to the south, said that Dr. Wild was her child's guidance counselor about 20 years ago, a little over 20 years
ago. The reason I ask the question is she about ready to retire? She's not in drop, obviously, because she's not down here. How close is she to retirement? We can't ask.
I got to be real clear.
We can ask
really,
you guys.
Let me just say this. All of these candidates can give you 8 to 10 years of service.
I want a point of clarification.
Yes.
I know the list. I read the list. But the question I have, we're not talking to the candidates. We're talking to these folks. And I know we can't ask the candidates. These folks, I'm not sure what they've gleaned when they read the information, but we should be allowed to ask these folks what they know. Right?
What would be the estimated amount of time the candidate, we can expect the candidate to give us here at Indian River, I think would be a nice
Couldn't
way.
Couldn't have said it better. Okay.
A good question.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's not in drop. She's been in education over 20 years, and she can give you, if you named her your superintendent, she'd give you 8 to 10 good years.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and the reason she made the list, as well as Mr. Lynch didn't, but I held Mr. Lynch and Dr. Wild in the same category because they're both from St. Lucie, but Dr. Mark Rendell, the deputy superintendent, trumped both of those. But if there was, but I did like Dr. Helen Wild, but she, Dr. Rendell was number one for my list, and Dr. Wild was 8. So for me, if Dr. Rendell's on the list, I don't need to see her, but that was just my, like I said, she made it to this list, your list, and she was lower on my list, but as these other candidates, like maybe Dr. Christensen rises, as I said, then that would overshadow that list, so that person. So although, she was 4 because she made that list, your investigation and background on David Christensen made me feel that was a better candidate. So I just don't want to, give her a vote, bring her to a thing where I already see that there's other people that I find. So when I said I was 4, I would take 9.
Okay.
Well, we'll take a show of hands in just a minute. Claudia?
Yeah, she was one of my top candidates, and I think that she brings a lot of good experience in areas that we need support in. I had the opportunity to meet her a couple of years ago when I visited the digital school that she started. Superintendent Lannan gave her that job. They wanted a virtual school. She made it happen, and she actually made it a blended virtual school, which is really, when you look at what works in terms of virtual ed, that's what she does. She has a lot of good experience with career and technical education. That's something that we, you know, is important to us. And she also has done a lot of work with alternative school environments for challenging students, which I think is another growing edge for our school district. And she's done a lot of work with the Bridges Out of Poverty folks in St. Lucie County, as well as being part of their negotiating team. So although we already have one candidate from St. Lucie County, I feel that she is comparable in accomplishment and achievement, and I would support continuing having her on the list.
And let me put you mind at ease just a little bit on that. I think when we did the Alachua search, the top two candidates were from St. Lucie, and they hired one, and Dr. Rendell was the second one. And it worked out that way. Sometimes it works out that way. They've had, and you know, when Mike Lannon was down there, he hired a lot of really good people, and he trained and was a mentor to a lot of good people. And I think you're beginning to see those rise up to the top. I'm just telling you that having two from one district is not something we haven't experienced before. We have. In fact, we just experienced it recently. Bill was there.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Searcy, I'd like to maybe put your mind at rest a little bit by an example. I worked at Palm Beach State College for 35 years, including the drop. When I finished, I was not old enough for Social Security, so Wayne Blanton said I could keep working. So I still am, and you probably should ask your candidates, are they willing to give you 5 or 8 or 10 years, and just see what they say. Mm-hmm. And if some of them say, well, no, I'm going to retire in 3 years and play golf, then, you know, the question's been answered.
Ms. Messina?
Yeah, what I wanted to point out was, as a board member, when I went through the process of hiring a superintendent, actually I did it twice, I wanted to see as many people as I could, because I really wanted to see them face-to-face and do some homework. When I look at the list that you're looking at interviewing, it doesn't look like you're going to be paying heavy travel costs on some of them. So it's really a matter of how much time as a board you're willing to put in. And if you're willing to put in that time, the cost is negligible. So two from one county, especially because it's a local county, shouldn't necessarily rule them out, because they do have different skill sets.
And my understanding is we're not the only county looking for a superintendent.
That's right.
So maybe having a...
And some will drop out. Dr. Blanton will tell you, almost always.
You may lose one. To the best of my knowledge, none of these individuals at this moment are in another search. So I think if you go to 5, you're going to be okay. I've asked them, and to the best of my knowledge, nobody's in another search at this moment. So if you go 1, 2, 3, 4, and he's got 3 votes, it's 5. I don't think you're going to lose any in this search. And many times you do, particularly if you're looking at a sitting superintendent, because sometimes they're bored to make a counteroffer to not leave. I mean, that happens to me all the time in searches. In this case, these individuals are ready to be superintendents. I guarantee you, every one of them can be your superintendent. It's just a matter, and we all know this, when you interview 5 candidates, somebody's going to bomb the interview, so down you down to 4. And then, let's be honest, there's not going to be a fit. You know, Matt, we had a talk about a search where there's somebody wasn't a fit. And then you get down, in reality, you're going to get down to your top 2. You just love them both, and they're going to be a fit. And that's how it works. But you got to put them in front of you and ask them the tough questions and see how they react. And you got to talk to them individually to talk to them and see where they're going to fit with you. And that's what it is. And so with this, they're all in state. They're all fairly close. They've got a great knowledge of Florida. I don't think you can go wrong. I just don't think you can go wrong with any of these. If you use Dr. Christensen, he's got 4 votes right now. If you talk about interviewing your internal person, and that person has 3 votes. And I was telling Charles and I were talking in the break, I said, I always told you school board members, you've heard me say, what's the most important thing you can learn? I said, to count to 3. And once you get a majority vote, then I think you're at the point that you can have you're going to be impressed, folks. I know this person, this person, this person, and I've seen them over their careers. I did not know Helen Wild that well, but I've talked to a lot of people that do. And obviously, I can't tell you more about Bruce Green than you already know. So, Mr. Chairman, if you go with those.
Well, Dr. Martin, I think there was some, I think we do have one slightly loose end. Because Dr. Wild, while originally had four, I do think there was some discussion.
Yeah.
On that search, do we still feel comfortable, show of hands?
Yes.
Four, okay. I just make sure we're still at four.
I have a question about that.
Yes, sir.
Rendell and Wild are from St. Lucie County.
Mm-hmm.
Were they in the hunt for the superintendent search that they just hired?
Neither one of them was.
Whatever his name is. Were they applicants for that job?
I don't know. And you can talk to Dr. Rendell. I've asked Mark Rendell, are you going to try to be superintendent in St. Lucie? And his answer was no. And I said, why? He said, because they are committed, the board is committed to going outside. He said they went inside, and this time they think they'd rather go outside. And he said no.
Well, I guess the rest of my question, both of these folks, Rendell and Wild, are St. Lucie County.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Their district is what grade now? It may be equal to ours now because I think we're C, but I don't consider St. Lucie a real high caliber district. And if we're taking folks from two candidates from a district that is less rated less than Indian River County, I'm not sure we're making a smart move there.
Discussing some things with some of the people down there. There was a lot of things that district would have liked to have done at the staff level that did not get done because somebody wasn't willing to take a chance and move forward. And I'm comfortable with that answer. And I'm trying to be as tactful as I can, saying that I think putting these people in a district where they were the leaders, you would not see that roadblock.
That's one of the problems that we have with government now. Staff runs the show. And if, obviously, there's a lot of decisions that Matt may make that I may not like,
yeah,
or that Fran may make that I may not like, but I just have some concern about that, bringing in folks from the district. Now, why don't we have somebody from St. John's County? That would excite me a lot if we had
that
number
St.
one
John's
district in the state. That's
the recruitment Mr. Gray was referring to.
You know, could I bring you Joe Joyner?
I mean, love Joe Joyner.
Ben Slough would kill me, but could I bring you Joe Joyner? If I could have brought you Joe Joyner, he'd have been in the hunt here, you know. And I'm not, you know, let's be honest, Joe Joyner's one of the best superintendents in the state. I was talking to him yesterday afternoon after I got down here on a different issue, which concerns all of us, but it's not today. Could I bring you Joe Joyner? But nobody from St. John's applied. You know, we've reached out to a lot of different people and everything, and you still got more applicants than any search I've had in 15 years. I understand your concerns, and those are the questions you just raised. When you interview people, legitimate questions, ask them.
Claudia,
thank you.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent point to make. And I also think we have to be mindful that when you look at the experience, again, when you look at these resumes, it's not just all of the, you know, I did this, but a lot of times you see the statistics. You know that they've turned schools around. You know that they've made an impact. And when you're working with bureaucracies, it's very difficult at that top level to impact change if you don't have the opportunity. And it seems that for these candidates, even though they come from a struggling district, they have experience and they have a track record. And I think that says a lot to their potential, because a lot of people have to start. You have to start somewhere. Ready, but that's an excellent point that we should keep in mind.
Dale. And that's a reason that I want to stay real strong on Bruce Green.
Yeah, Dale.
Well, I like Bruce Green too, but I want to be fair to the district, to the children, to everybody, and hear everything out. I do want to say that Dr. Mark Rendell, and since he's going to be on the top five, most likely that I'll let him do his own interview. But he lives in Brevard County. On his cover letter, I thought was very touching was that this decision was not only his, but his wife Heidi of so many years and the children, because he commutes to St. Lucie. And they have eyeballed this county, and they've been waiting for this opportunity. He has also had successes in not only increases in grades, but he is familiar about our moonshot moment. He is in favor of that, but says, why stop there? Wouldn't you like to see an increase in graduation rates? So he's really excited about not only what we're doing, but what we could be doing additionally to our dreams. So he was a very powerful candidate because of that shine through the phone, I have no idea what he looks like. I'd like to see him in person. I'd like to make his own case. But again, we're going to have to, as I said, I do agree Mr. Green is a strong candidate because of all the things that Mr. Rendell does not have, and all the others, the continuity from within, the charismatic that Mr. Rendell had on the phone, Mr. Rodriguez had on the phone. I want to see Mr. Christensen, but I would say that. To answer, I can't tell you about Mr. Rodriguez, but Mr. Rendell did not put any other application in and said, he understands if he doesn't get it here, fine, but they'll be heartbroken because they've had their eye on this. They love our county. And maybe, since he can't drive the bus, as Dr. Blanton said, he's looking for that chance.
Well, I like this county, too. If I were looking, I'd be trying to be a superintendent here. Yeah. In fact,
that's
I like it so much. I started here, and I might finish my career.
Not a reason for a selection. I don't know somebody's going to move.
But, Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
I think you have five excellent candidates, and I think that you're going to be pleased with the interviews with all of them, and I think you've done a great job. If there's anything else we can do or discuss, I'd be glad to do it. If you're ready with these five, I am comfortable that these five, any one of these five, could be your superintendent.
Well, I'd echo those sentiments. At this point, the only thing I would ask board members, if there's any further discussion, somebody who's not included in that, who you think also might be, there's nothing precluding us. If a majority of board members have a real strong hankering for one candidate, we can go to six. Seven, we'll go to eight. I don't care. Does anybody want to put forth another name for moving forward in the process?
Just in case, and we've said based on what we're seeing so far, it's not likely because none of these people are semi-finalists or finalists somewhere else, but just in case somebody gets a better offer to stay where they are, you could consider, if there is a sixth person, make them your alternate if you want to do that, or just go with five.
If they were to do that, we could save money by not bringing another candidate in, right? We're on a budget crunch, so
I think
that's the top five. That's a
tough
one. But I do think, it's one thing to be stewards and fiscally responsible, but I think we need to be mindful. This is one of the most important responsibilities that we have as board members. And I think that, making sure that we are proactive, making sure that we are not in a situation where we feel that we're stuck, because there are boards that have allowed themselves to get in the situation where they choose a candidate that's not the candidate that they're passionate about because of the way things turn out, and then they end up with a superintendent that is not the person that everybody said, wow, we're excited about this. It's, this is our last chance, so we better take this person, which isn't good for children and it's not good for the school district. So if there were another candidate, I would like to have that person named, because we're not spending a lot of money bringing people here, and if there is an additional candidate, I would encourage people to speak up.
Dr. Blanton?
The search is never over till you vote. And we've had districts that have interviewed candidates, and they turned around and said, we want to do this again, and everything. And the search is not over till you vote and make your choice. I will say this, if you get to the end of this, and you are not satisfied, at no cost, we'll come down and do you lead you through the process or do whatever you need to do. Again, that's part of where we are. I am comfortable that you will come to closure with this group here and everything. Like I said, I personally know three of the five. You know one of the five better than I do, far better, and I think you'll be in good shape.
Ms. Messina?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, of the five that you have that you said you wanted to interview, None of them have been superintendents. There are some on the list that have been, but none of them are there. And they're all from in-state. And I just wanted, if you were looking for an out-of-state candidate, that's not among your top five right now.
I can tell you I'm comfortable with those five. And I'm moving forward at that point.
Me too.
Mr. Sarrison? Dale?
I just think for the record, I would like to state that it is unfortunate that we're not willing to look at any external candidates. There are these external candidates that are on our list are all outstanding, and it's an opportunity to think outside the box and see what other people that have been successful in other states are doing. So I know that the board direction is to stay local, but I find it to be an unfortunate direction for this board.
Mr. Searcy?
I thought we did look outside. We looked at a bunch of candidates from outside. I don't quite understand those comments, but we agree on a lot of things, by the way.
That's
okay. Some of them we don't agree on.
We can disagree, Mr. Searcy, if that's totally fine. I just feel that I'm entitled to share my comments regarding our unwillingness to interview. Maybe I didn't specify. To interview. I recall last time when we did the search, we actually gave external candidates, you know, from Florida, we actually interviewed them. So we do have a track record of having that type of flexibility. And I know you weren't here then, and I'm not holding that against you, obviously. But, you know, as board members, we should be able to express an opinion, don't you think?
Okay. We're going to move on at this point. We got five candidates. Dr. Blanton, thank you very much for your help. Ms. Messina, Mr. Graham, can't thank you guys enough.
Thank you. We wish you the best of luck. Anything we could do to help you, please let us know. It was good being here. And I know you will enjoy seeing the candidates, and I think you have a very professional group that can take you to your next step.
All right. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. Board members, we'll take another quick break, and we need to be back here, and we've got to start going over our end of things.
Okay.
Here, you want to hit that button? Before I tell a joke or something.
Oh, I'll tell a joke.
What we need to do now, we've got our five candidates. We know who they're going to be. Now it's just logistics time. We need to decide how we're going to make that magic happen. Obviously, Judy will start contacting them probably today or tomorrow, very soon, to get those interviews set up. Last time, what we did, again, this is what we did last time. We don't have to do it, whatever. We had a community portion of it beforehand. Board members were not in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So community members, of course, it's a public meeting, anybody can come, but we specifically invited Mr. Brown, I think Gene Waddell, some folks from, just the different groups. Make sure you're aware that, this is the time of the, the interview would be at 10 o'clock. Well, at 9 o'clock, they would meet with community members for, I think we had 45 minutes. Gave them a 15-minute break to go in the back, do whatever you need to do. And then board members would come in at about 9:45. We were seated up at the dais.
We were at the dais,
and the candidates were here.
Yep.
We go back. We were at the dais, and the candidates were here, basically in the middle.
Yeah, right.
And the interview process took place that way. It started out with, we had a specific, we talked about this earlier, and we need to get happy with what questions, if we want to do that again. We had a set of questions, I think 2 or 3 questions apiece. That way, you had a good base of every candidate answered the same question. After that, we just went down the line, and each board member can ask anything they want. And those tended to be more candidate-specific, obviously. And I think we set the time period for 1 hour on that. Suzanne, do you remember?
2 hours.
2 hours, 10 to 12. Yeah, it was. Now they did not go 2 hours.
45-minute reception.
No.
No.
Like I said, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, the community would start. That go 45 minutes, 15 minutes break. We started at 10. It was set from 10 to 12. I don't know that we ever made it 2 hours. But in case we need it, it's a placeholder there for 2 hours.
okay? Again, we can discuss all that now. But, and again, I'm just saying what we did last time. At that point, it had to be noticed. All five board members and the candidate would then go, and we'd have lunch somewhere. The point of that was to have just more informal, in a more informal setting. Bias, you know. Again, it's got to be noticed. So, you know, we'd have a table for five if somebody wants to sit next to us, and he's more than welcome. We did not have that. I can tell you now. I'm going to go my own personal feelings on that. When we set that up last time, I thought it was a stupid idea. I didn't see a point in it. I will tell you this. I will tell you this. One of our five finalists, and the name is not important, and it wouldn't matter anyway, was a very, very strong resume. Came in, appeared to me, and this, I'm just speaking for myself, appeared very stoic, very wooden. And at that time, we were coming off of one of the things going from Dr. LaCava. We really wanted somebody who could reach out to the community. I was a little worried about that. Again, all the right answers, everything was cool. We went out to lunch with that person. I thought, well, maybe it's because being intimidated, you know, because there's a whole group of people here, and you're sitting here with the lights on, these people sitting up at the dais, you know, towering over you. And I thought, well, you know, maybe just because of the circumstance. We went out to lunch, and no, that was his personality. And that, so of all the time and money we spent, that was one thing I gleaned out of it, and that kind of person fell away. I did say money spent. We all paid for our own lunch. In fact, I got all pissed off and I paid for the candidate's lunch myself.
That's the best plan.
No, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. We were at a board meeting during the middle of this, and somebody, you know, got up and started saying, y'all are one and a dime and all these candidates and spending all this money. It pissed me off.
Yeah.
I said, listen, I'm going to reimburse them. Right now. And right after the meeting, I had a check in my pocket. True story. Colleen Blixen came up to the dais she went to ask me something else. And I'm writing on. So she goes, you weren't kidding, were you? You really are. I go, yeah, you're right. And I handed her a card. I said, here's $200. That'll cover five lunches. Anywho, I'm getting way off track.
But I think it's good to have another perspective. While you think that was not of value, it really does give you an opportunity to meet this person in a different setting. And it is invaluable in understanding their personality. And that is, you know, that's part of it, because it really is. In the end, it's about how these people are able to build relationships. And when you're breaking bread with someone, it's just a very different experience. So I know that we'll get criticism for taking them out to dinner or lunch. We did four dinners and two lunches last time because we had six candidates. But, you know, the other side of Matt's story is that, you know, there is some value to it, and it's really up to the board to decide, you know, corporately what it is that we would like to do.
Yeah,
and I found it to be very
I think that was my point, is I was very much against it, but I did find it. So it sounds kind of goofy, but that was the reason for it. Okay, so we need to, and we're driven by majority here. We're driven by as a board. Anything in that process, change, tweak, eliminate, add, now is the time to speak.
I don't want to change it, but I was going to say there's quite a few places right within the area here, close to this building, that I think we should stick to. I mean, I don't think we should go A1A or up to Fells Marshall. I was just going to say, that's all I don't know how, where you went. Just there's enough. It's a social setting. There's so many places right here.
They were all very close. They were all independently owned. We didn't go to Chili's. We all went to own here in Europe. Nothing against Chili's. I like Chili's. Duly noted. You know, Italian grill out there. It's the farthest we ever went. Out younger on by the public.
So all the way up there.
Yeah. But that's the farthest we went. But the rest of them were great. Kind of time. But again, now is the time. Putting aside eating at this point. No, that's me. I know, y'all. In terms of the interview process, again, everything's got to be in the sunshine. So it's a clunky, inefficient way to interview people, but it's what we've got to deal with. Sean.
Do we have to do it from the dais? I mean, you spoke to the idea that is intimidating, and it really is a power thing.
Yeah.
So maybe in a horseshoe?
At even level, everyone on the same level?
We have a resolution against
that. You're probably going to make the same point.
Yeah.
They did it to see how the person reacted to stress.
That was part of it. The other thing, and I'm not disagreeing with you, again, that board made that decision. This is a new board. We do whatever you want. The only other thing I will say is this will be a packed house. Okay? If we're sitting here, it leaves less room for, and again, I'm just pointing it out. If we're sitting here in a horseshoe, that leaves less room for over there and whatever. I don't care if we do it by ourselves. Yeah. Be happy with me.
But I do see your point, but if we're having an intimate setting, I think we should have the formal setting because we're going to have, what if this person, which I know Fran has gone with, Carter Morrison I've seen, or Moonshot Moment, Breakfast, they are there as a public speaker, and they have to be charismatic. Casual like this may not bring that about, then that, you know, that presentation. Performance piece. I'd like to see somebody do a performance piece, to be honest with you, to see how they, as a professional, especially if they're going to be giving holding graduation ceremonies, all sorts of public speaking, that if it's intimate, we're going to have that at the lunches and dinners. If it's professional and public, then maybe it should be a public, but the podium moves down. You know, the podium comes over and let the person come to the podium and be intimate.
Well, we had them, last time, they were actually sitting at a table like this and sitting down comfortable. Because, again, it could be 2 hours.
Sure, we could
they don't
want to
stand at a
whole
podium for 2 hours. What's that?
We could ask for a work sample.
Yeah. Like, you give a 2-minute, you know. Yeah. No, you do, tell me about yourself, usually.
But don't you think that, based on the questions we're going to ask, they're going to have that opportunity to show us their ability to do public speaking. One of the ideas that I had was that it would be great if we could each come up with a case study, give them a situation from an area that each of us is interested in that we could have at the end so that when we have that opportunity to ask whatever questions we want, we all agree that somebody will do a case study for each one because that way they're thinking on the spot. And there's no opportunity for them to hear what the question was because it's going to be one of those random questions. But it gives you insight at the moment what their thought process is as they solve that problem. Mm-hmm. You know, because we ask general questions, but people just have the pat answers. They know they've seen us, they've heard our board meetings, they know what each one of us supports and is looking for, so they're going to play it to us, and they're going to come prepared for that, but if we give them something out of the blue, it will give us a little insight into who they are.
And let's, Mr. Thurston.
Isn't that exactly what a superintendent does anyway? They figure out exactly where we're coming from, and they play up to
3 people.
That.
Right. They run a country.
And I'm not disagreeing. I mean, I love to disagree with you, by the way, but I'm not disagreeing. But
it's my growing edge, and I embraced it.
Well, no, but that's what a good superintendent does. They're a good PR person, and they'll work every one of us perfectly. So we may find out in that interview just how well they can work us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had superintendents in this district before that could work people very nicely, and we've had some that were dictators. And both of them, or all of them, I should say, were successful, but this is a tough deal. Yeah. We're not pros at this point.
Yeah, and Mr. Searcy, I'd even take it a step further that not only a person in a leadership role like this, not only can take the temperature of people sitting here, we can take the temperature of the community and all the stakeholders out there, and that's a very important thing. When we talk about, we're going to get into the actual question process. I just want to come to some kind of conclusion on parameters of logistics, something like that we were talking about. Okay? Again, the community input phase we want to do. Okay? We found last time 45 minutes seemed to be plenty of time. And the candidates all said later, they go, that was about 44 minutes too long, but...
during that time period, what do you mean by community input?
It was very, very... Again, just what we did. We can do something different. It was very informal. Now, I wasn't in the room. Judy, I think you were, weren't you? It was basically... It wasn't them sitting here being peppered by questions of people standing in a line. It wasn't like that at all. I think we had some refreshments.
It's like a reception. Mm-hmm.
Cookies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they were, and just if lack of better word, mulling around the room. I know that's a wrong way to put it, but a very informal way, and 45 minutes was enough. Was enough time that everybody got a chance to talk to the person. I think some.
Jimmy, were you in the room still?
No, I was just not.
Okay. I what I understand. Sometimes, you know, the person would kind of, you know, sit in one area, and everybody, a group, would just kind of just informally, you know, kind of ask questions. Sometimes it was just going around from person to person. It was very informal. We can do something more staid and more civil. Yeah.
One of the things that I see with that, Matt. Mm-hmm. And I know if you've been on the board 6 years, you know that it happens. If one person collars you, mm-hmm. and they just can't quite finish up their five-minute speech in 10 minutes, we almost need to have somebody with the candidate mm-hmm. who is very astute at making sure that you've got two. Okay, let's go on. I mean, there are politicians that are extremely good at that.
Yep.
But we can't, you know. And I love Gene Waddell, but he may get on there. He may get on charter schools, and it may go on forever. And I don't mean to pick on Gene, but
no,
that's critical that we make sure that that person see every single one of them that want to make.
Yep, and you know what? That is a great point. In fact, we had that. Now, and it didn't even remind me, just when he said it, it was Patty Vasquez, whose position is no longer here. So, but you're right, and the Patty led them around. Patty did exactly that. Dale?
I know this sounds really bad. It sounds like speed dating, but really, if you had five candidates and you had five round tables with eight chairs there, and that you tell people to please sit with the candidates and you know, give 15 minutes or whatever it is, and then and tell them to please move, because otherwise, you're right, somebody's going to get monopolized.
Sure.
Well, that's what Patty was good at last night. Yeah.
You know, one thing we might consider, because we don't have Patty, and we don't know how many people are going to show up, and we may not, if we limit it to tables, the logistics could be challenging if we have a lot of people. Maybe we could have some kind of a facilitator that's there. And so you've got your candidate, they welcome people, they introduce them, and then they will just, you know, I don't know if it's cards or if it's people have questions and announce to people, you know, we have an hour for this, we want to get in as many questions, 2-minute responses, 3-minute, you know, maybe somebody could time it. But, you know, something not to be, you know, controlling, but because what happens, even if the candidate moves around, there's no guarantee that everybody's going to be heard. Not that in that hour everybody's going to be heard if there are a lot of people, but if you organize it a little bit, everybody hears the answers, everybody sees the candidate in action, and it's not just me talking to you right here. And everybody, and I may have the same question, and I may not have to ask it.
And it may have, and actually the logistics of it may have been Patty doing more of that. It may not have been as unstructured as I, again, I wasn't in the room. But no,
it should be an informal setting. So if you have them at a table, and that doesn't ring well with me. Yeah. But if we float them around, everybody can stand around and follow this person if they want to. But they need to be informal so they can get the real justice this person.
And that's the whole point. Yeah, you're right.
We could find somebody.
There's somebody here in this building that we can find. Or in that side,
you know what? Helene's name, Chastine. Somebody from the chamber, but somebody like that. Thank
somebody.
You. Yes, yeah. Maybe it shouldn't be from the organization. Maybe it should be somebody like from the chamber that's willing to put that time in too, and then they also get a chance to listen to their answers.
Yeah. So I think what we're hearing is we're okay with a community input forum, 45 minutes. Give them 15 minutes to regroup. Come back in for. Go ahead and leave the placeholder for 2 hours. That way, in case we get on something that there's a real issue, hoping they don't go 2 hours. But, you know, and so we're okay that way. And then, are we hearing consensus that we do want to do some kind of informal, like a lunch kind of deal?
Lunch with one of them, and then afternoon interview?
Yeah, that's what we did. It was always, 9 to 10, then interview 10 to 12, or 11-ish. Then we go out to lunch. If we did afternoon interviews, it was just the opposite. It started a little bit later in the afternoon than we used to. 2 o'clock for the community.
Two o'clock
community interviews, 3 to 5, and after that we go out for an early dinner.
And then I think we had one that we had to be flexible with, where we started. started at 3 and then interview 4 to 6 and then a late 10.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
Flexibility.
Yeah. And a lot of that stuff, that particular days, we can do that. Whether they're mornings or afternoons, that's when Judy works her magic. When can they get here? What works for them? You know, we've all hopefully got those days reserved. Yeah.
Since we're talking about this, all of you have seen this. This was the community comments. Are we going to, I mean, that should be an easy yay, nay.
Yeah, we had those available in the back, I think, and people could fill them out and give them to us. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great.
In terms of the actual interview, they sit down. You got something?
One question make sure we have to address is that we're going to have 5 candidates, mm-hmm. and one candidate is going to be here, and he's going to know all the questions that are asked in advance. So we got to have a special set of questions.
We did that with a different
set. By the way, that's kind of tough, I guess.
Any set we develop is going to be public record. So we can't, and that's why I was suggesting when we get that opportunity to do the additional questions, those are not going to be in the public record.
The answer. Huh. Interview him first.
Well, and that's...
You don't have to worry. No, you interview him first, and then he's going to know what he said.
Right.
The internal candidate is what I'm speaking about. And I imagine that can be arranged.
And it's public record, so if somebody wants to, you know...
But our questions aren't public record yet.
No, absolutely.
That's why I'm suggesting have the local candidate on first.
Absolutely.
A clarification, because I hear where you're going, but Ms. Diagresta, when we have those questions, if we sit here today and come up with those questions are going to be public record. So they're going to be public record before we interview any candidate. So whether we interview him first or last, everybody would have had the opportunity to see the questions.
When do they become public?
When
does it become public?
Well, this is on
this is a public
tape.
Meeting, so they're
yeah.
public record.
So somebody could request
the
tape.
We're going to develop the questions.
That was the idea. We need
to
do that.
That's what we have
to
do.
Yeah, we need to do that.
So does everybody have
And yes, the other thing is, Ms. Searcy, you could
does
have
anybody
one of the candidates, especially if you've got candidates in St. Lucie County. You know, if I was doing it, could I send my brother up to listen and write down the question? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing. Okay. Assuming for right now that we're up at the dais, person's here. Okay. We welcome them. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Say some, try to think of something nice to say to them.
No.
Then say, explain to them the process. That we're going to be asking a series of questions. All candidates are going to have to ask these questions. And then we'll be free, board members will be free to ask any other questions. And then at the end, give them and try. And maybe we had a couple of them that were getting kind of lengthy. We wanted to make sure we give them enough time, 10, 15 minutes at the very end. Listen, now's the time. If there's anything else you want to say about yourself, if there's any, you've got 10, 15 minutes left in the interview, please feel free. I think that's
sure.
a...
Like a newspaper person. Is there anything else you want to tell
us? Right. Anything you want to say?
Here's the answer. Nope.
They never finish an interview without saying that. To me. Is there anything else you want to
tell us? That never happened to us, right?
They never know what you're going to say.
What you're saying. They've always been fair and kind to me.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Now, we're to the point, I'm just looking at our timeline. We will notify the people, then Judy's going to get a hold of them. We've got to get legal notices out. Then we have dates.
Read your list.
7 days, right?
We are to the point now where...
Oh, it's supposed to be 48 hours.
How about
the actual... The actual interview itself. All right. Does everybody have a copy of... Judy, do I have enough copies for everybody?
Yes, sir.
These were the questions last time. Okay? Again, this is just meant to be a starting point. We were in a lot of different place at that point. Does anyone want
to... I have one from the last time. Thank you. I'm good.
Um, hopefully we've had a chance. How many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15.
Oh, I have
one
of
the names. 15 questions.
Because there was
three of us, yeah. I was in the four. I was done. Okay. So that's what we had last time. We had three questions apiece. You want to make sure, you know, it's not enough just to say, hey, come armed with three questions. We want to make sure we hit all the areas. We can either come up with the questions verbatim today, or we can come up with general issues that you want to address, and we can discuss them, I believe, next Tuesday. Don't we have a roundtable next Tuesday?
Yes.
Yeah. So, up to you. We can address now. We can either come up with actual questions and just work through it, or we come up with issues. I'm going to ask about this. You're going to ask about that. You're going to ask about that. Remember, with, let's just say, three questions. We'll use that as a working number right now. Then come back Tuesday. First item on the discussion will be, okay, these are the questions I have, you know, and we'll kind of go over them then. See if, make sure we don't have any big overlaps, stuff like that. We don't want to waste time asking the same question. You know, it's always good something like this, and you know, you ask somebody, you know, what is your management style? You know, they're just going to give pat answers. You know, better give me a time in your district where you've had to fire somebody, mm-hmm. and how that worked. You know what I'm saying? That factual specific. You know, those are always good. I'm not telling you how to interview. I'm just saying. So input. Do we want to actual input? Questions right now?
Do we want to go through this real quick and see what questions on this we want to keep?
Sure.
And we just discard and then come Tuesday with additional?
Okay.
Does that sound good?
First one's educational interventions. What's the most successful educational interventions that you have implemented? I mean, it seems kind of a generic kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Budget. Can you give us an example of how you work through budget cuts and still maintain the academic integrity of your district? Yeah, I guess we were going through the same thing. I must have had that same speech last time.
Yes.
Can you give us an example? What is your strategy for encouraging community dialogue and support? I mean, I need to hear something. It's not like these are the most gold-plated questions ever devised in the history of the world. I realize they're... tax referendum. Do we want to ask anything about that?
We're going to have to engage in some of
the aspects. So I think that we should.
Okay.
Yeah.
What change to the FDFP has had the most significant impact on Florida students, positive or negative? And the FDFP is always changing.
Yeah. So honestly, the community dialogue to me is fluff on the first page.
Okay.
I can live without that question. I don't know if anybody else can.
Or change it to something with a little more substance?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You can.
So we'll maybe that's something I would come, we'll come might want to look at.
Yeah.
And
right.
As you said, the FDFP opposed in that sentence. I mean, maybe it was relevant back then. I can't remember because I wasn't here. So
I think this question was geared to at the out-of-state candidates because we had a couple,
okay.
and so we wanted to make sure they were familiar with the FDA.
So do we want to take this on?
And, well, you know, I think it's important that we do ask the questions geared towards the Florida Education Finance Board. It's such a big part of what we do. Maybe not so much then. Remember, at this time, remember, this was the dark days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 08, you know, Claudia and I sat down in November of 08. We found out in January that holdback was coming. Hey, that's always fun. And then we went through boom, boom, boom. And we were in the midst of severe cuts at that point. So I tell you what, I'll rework that one. Dale, you want to rework the community dialogue support,
mm-hmm.
page one? Board involvement leadership team. How have you worked with previous boards and leadership teams to engage them in decision making? I think it's more of a just can you work with boards kind of question.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, some questions around that we might consider, and I know we had that, is how would you handle a director from the board that you disagree with? I think we had one
like
of those.
That.
What is the toughest issue you've addressed with a school board, and what was your role in resolving it? How would you describe the role of the board if it were to make a significant... I'm not saying we're doing all of these just to
no.
keep food going. How would you describe the role of the board if it were to make a significant difference in the success of the school districts? And then the last one was, in your experience, what are the characteristics of a positive, productive board-superintendent work relationship? Something around...
Yeah, and some of those real specific ones can be asked after the 15. I think the 15 are kind of
to give you a baseline of, mm-hmm. of generic of knowledge. Somebody who wants to rework that question?
About the board?
About a board involvement, leadership team. Chain of command evaluation principles. Please explain your philosophy on site management. Chain of command evaluation school principles.
That's screaming for
you know what I would have... This whole thing with site management, you know, it's interesting when I called some of the candidates and talked to board members or staff that worked with them, one of the qualifiers that they used, they would ask me, so do you guys have site-based management? Because mm-hmm. when you have site-based management, you're very limited in your mm-hmm. effectiveness because you have to, you know, whatever. But one question around this, and I do think this is an important question mm-hmm. because those are all in good, but I think one direct question that I would want to see is, how have you identified and dealt with struggling principals in districts where you have worked? What criteria do you use to cite principals and APs? Because I think that's crucial. Mm-hmm. If your school district is going to be successful, we never ask that question, and to this day we don't really have a process and we don't know what the criteria are. So that's a question that I would love to
ask of everybody. Does anybody have a problem with that?
No, and just to piggyback that, because I have thought, but now's the time because we're going to a new year. Philosophies of a lot of agencies, not just the school district, is just to move the problem. And I want to make sure that we're just not moving problems. And I would like to hear how. So I think that's a great approach and part of the question.
And then another one, around management is, you know, this is their philosophy. Should school districts be run like businesses? Why or why not? Because that's another challenge we face in education, social, and the...
Okay, well, so instead of please explain your philosophy on site management, Claudia, you want to... And again, we're not assigning...
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Assigning questions to ask at this point, just somebody who's going to rework it.
And discuss
rework
Tuesday.
The question, and discuss mm-hmm, Tuesday. Yeah. Tough issues with school board. I think it's a fair question. It's valid. No, I mean, it's fair. I'm saying, do you think it's valid? Does it have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think you should get it like how they resolve conflict in general and manage up and down.
Mm-hmm. And have that question geared toward it, Susan?
What about including the concept of a split board into this? How do you resolve it when you have a split board? Still has to work with all five people.
Yeah.
So you've got a split board, you've got to come to a resolution. It's not going to please a couple people, but you still have to be able to work with them.
Right.
How do they work?
Sean's going to rework that question.
Yes.
Yes. greatest criticism. Please tell us about someone who is not necessarily a fan. What is the greatest criticism? I work just too darn hard.
That's right. I'm too awesome.
I'm just so awesome that everybody hates me in the office.
I'm here when they show up. I'm there when they leave.
It's a generic, just
yeah.
general. It's on every interview ever made. Do we want
right.
to?
How about something around? You know, one of the things we're looking for is someone with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is the toughest ethical decision you have made in your education career? What was it? Why was it difficult? And what was the result? Because that really goes to the character and having to make difficult decisions.
Ethical decision, is kind of.
So why don't you change that
really
negative professional experience? Because that's kind of, well, you know, that's forthcoming. Somebody has to be forthcoming, and I change it to tell me about
what is the toughest ethical decision
ethical.
You have had to make in your career.
I would
and
just be
how
careful about
handle?
Ethical decision because that's very subjective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would be uncomfortable with that as
so
an interview meeting.
You have a code of ethics,
yeah.
so
mm-hmm.
we follow that code of ethics. So we just want to be sure that we're not trying to confuse someone by saying,
mm-hmm.
Oh, we've got this code of ethics, we're not talking about that. You know, we're talking about maybe an internal ethical struggle or, you know, a management ethical struggle, but not the code of ethics.
Mm-hmm. One question that I've heard asked is, what decision have you made that you would like to take back? Sort of, you know, given perfect information, but
in retrospect,
right? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
sort of the shot of redemption too. It also gives them an opportunity if there are any things there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just
no. I think that's a fair question.
And I think you know the whole how is it resolved in of course in court, but I a good candidate is going to know how you start, right? The situation, the task, what was done, and how it was resolved.
And the answer.
Right. They're going to know how to tie it back to something that's happened.
So
tell me about an experience in retrospect that if you had a chance to redo, how would you handle it? Something to that effect. Or if tell me about a situation or experience that in retrospect you would have done differently. Instead of a negative professional experience, how would you have handled it better?
All right, so Leo, you want to rewrite that one?
Yeah.
All right, well, going back to the page before, that greatest criticism, do we want to ask that generic question? Please tell us about someone who is not necessarily a fan. What was their greatest criticism?
I think a question like that, it's very generic, but I think that it's important for people to come across as understanding what their weaknesses are. And that acknowledgement that, you know, because that was one of the things that was a turnoff when I was calling people. And I would always say, you know, what is one of their growing edges? Or I wouldn't say what is one of their weak points. I didn't want to be too aggressive. And when people said, no, they're perfect, they're, you know, and I was like, oh, please, nobody's perfect. And I think you need a superintendent that has the humility to know their limitations, because they will compensate for that instead of, oh, I'm perfect.
I think those kind of goofy, generic questions like that you've been asked on every interview you've probably ever been on, you know, are not necessarily to get the answer of the candidate. It's to have a get the answer of all five. Mm-hmm. See how all five are at. You know, does that make any sense? I just don't know what we want to do with it. If we want to leave it like that, or
can we think about that?
Leave it open.
Because next thing you know, they're going to say, "My mom, she didn't want me to go into teaching," and
It could be
reworked, but I don't know how.
Okay, we'll leave it open. Charter schools, describe your experience with charter schools and your direction to staff.
I think that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. We okay with it as is? Do we want to rework it?
Now, you and Claudia operated with these questions the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find any fault with any of them?
I don't remember because of this. You remember these, and sometimes this lasts a while, but anything that was kind of left open, or anything like you say, oh, that question really didn't get to this with this candidate, you always had it with a follow-up, because we had that. So if you say, like, is there a question that was bad, I don't remember that.
Well, I guess the point that we might make would be that we need to record which ones are effective and which ones are not, because we may... Some of us, this board,
have to do it again.
May at one point come back and hire a new superintendent and say, well, here's the questions that they were used in the last superintendent search. These are the ones that had the most impact. These needed to be changed for posterity.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. I'll get to that. I don't remember that there was one question that we went... I don't remember thinking afterwards that was just a waste of 5 minutes.
So,
the other thing I may want to do is I don't think it'd be out of bounds to spend 5 minutes and sit down with Fran and say, seriously, you know, you went through this. These are the questions. This were, you know, what do you think? I mean, because it's a different situation than last time. We, you know, things kind of got sideways last time at the end.
And then what I was going to add to that, too, is that, you know, if you think about it, ideally, every time you are searching for a superintendent, you're at a different place than you were the previous time. So in an ideal situation, if we actually had the time, we would pretty much be making up our questions from scratch like we did the first time. What are the topics? Develop the questions. We can use this to get us started. But 4, 8 years, 10 years from now, the next board is going to have totally different situations, and their questions may be totally different. So I wouldn't worry about that, but I hear it as a learning experience.
But if we knew that labor negotiations was a real dud question, you know, you might pick up something from it. But we can't look back now because memories and us older folks, you know, might not be.
Cobwebs, I got the one up there. So the charter school question, kind of open-ended. Are we okay with it? It gives the opportunity for them to expand their views of charter schools. I think that was the idea.
That was the goal.
Okay. And not ask if they have failing charters in there.
I think, you know, that would
came
because
up.
Because I'm learning, you know, that there are many different types, and you know, some are successful, many are not.
That could be a follow-up.
Okay, sure. You know, yeah. And I know, like the follow-ups, you know, and I kind of had one or two follow-ups I asked of everyone just because it's okay. Of my thing. But yeah. Okay, labor negotiations. What experience have you had with labor negotiations? And kind of open-ended, but are we okay with it? We want to tweak it?
It's open-ended. Well, I guess it could be a follow-up. Would you have any interest in personally attending negotiations?
Well, the superintendent's involved in that.
But not in the room, right?
That's such a specific question. I think right. That would be more of a follow-up.
Okay. I've talked with teachers.
Yeah, no, I just think it's... Yeah, but I think it's a great... Okay. Great follow-up question. Okay. I think it's so pointed that it leads to a very quick answer.
That's true. No.
Yes,
no. Yeah, I'd love to. I think it'd be great. Okay,
that could be a follow-up.
Do you still hate the teachers?
I'm sorry, Mr. Searcy.
None of the candidates we're looking at now are superintendents, right?
No, sir.
Okay, so the on labor negotiations, the best thing mm-hmm. that we would have would be they might have been part of the bargaining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess
so that would be the experience. And then we might ask, were you successful? Or is that why you're leaving your district?
But you know, but it would be interesting to see.
Is there a rail in?
Do you still hate teachers?
Should be at the table, and it'd be interesting to hear them say yes or no and why.
Dale?
Well, I was going to say, I think as an open question, what experience have you had with labor negotiations, mm-hmm. and what would be the, you know, compromise the landscape of your dream team for negotiating? You know, what do you mean by landscape? Like, I want HR, I want finance, I want because who sits on that board is very important, or the negotiation team. So I'd like to hear who they think should sit on it. You know, it's, as you said, nobody's a superintendent presently. So, or maybe just straight up. Do you think a superintendent should be sitting right. on the negotiating? That's probably the best way to go.
You know, but to Mr. Searcy's point, you know, you do want to know. It sounds open ended, but you do want to know what experience have you had. I mean, it's actually a pretty good question, just like that. You know, you can piggyback on it. You can say, what experience have you had with labor negotiations, and how do you see your role? How do you see your role as now the superintendent?
In the
we can expand that. So, yeah. Dale, you want to?
We were just saying we were gonna definitely have that as a follow up. So.
Okay, yes. Let's leave it. Desegregation. Have you worked in a district that was under a federal deseg?
I would just make it more specific.
Yeah.
If yes, you know what did you accomplish, and if no, what did you do towards mm-hmm. obtaining unitary status? So it's not, you know, so we get mm-hmm. a little bit of
right.
insight.
That's fine. Okay. Claudia's going to help you rework that one. Mm-hmm. Achievement gap. Have you had successful experience in narrowing the student achievement gap? Mm-hmm. Administrative structure. Conceptually, how do you envision the administrative structure?
Again, the history behind this is that when we had the previous superintendent, the superintendent used to do what Dr. Adams does now, which is directly she's the one that oversees the principals. When Dr. LaCava was with us, he created an additional position to supervise the principal. So this question was targeting the board's questioning of that mm-hmm. structure of the org chart.
Let me just tell you some of my experience. Didn't make it to the board here, but somebody I interviewed, talked to, felt that they would want to create a deputy superintendent
yeah,
position.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but and I think that that's part of what we're looking at, and I will need help in orchestrating that question. But I guess we want to see, will the org chart look radically different? Hopefully, a candidate will say, hey, I'm not going to do anything until I come in and assess, but I would think anybody in any business and anything would do that. But I think that's probably what the concern is, which is why we would ask this question.
Right.
what the structure, what are your intentions on structure? I mean, we had talked about no harm, we had talked about, you know, like I said, I would really be not in favor of somebody coming in and starting creating all this infrastructure and layers. So, I, you know, I don't know how you would answer that.
Every one of the candidates that, that we're going to be looking at have worked in a number of different positions, and a number of them in different districts. And we might just say, well, how have you, what was the administrative structure in your previous districts, number one, and how did it work out? Did you have assistant superintendents or whatever, or not assistant, but
deputy.
Call it, deputy superintendent, yeah. Or how, what's the best way to handle that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it best to have a deputy superintendent or just have several assistant superintendents, or is it better to have assistant superintendents that you delegate everything to and you be the spoken school district education leader? But it's going to come out in this deal that I want a superintendent that can delegate and hold those people responsible, period.
And that's, and if I'll go right here, you know, the that's all good stuff. The magic there is going to be boiling it down to a question.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I just had a comment on that question because I think that question is very clear and very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Conceptually, how do you envision the administrative structure of a district with 17,000 students? And again, because when we ask him, what do you have now, when we got our superintendent from Broward County, with Dr. Lukawa, he came from a larger district, and he came with a larger district mindset that created, you know, the system that he left us with. So I think that their answer will let us know what they're working with and what they're thinking maybe of doing differently. It needs to be that general, because when we start saying, well, what have you done? They can just go on and on about, oh, yeah, we did this, and this worked well because of this. Mm-hmm. But that's not applying to our 17,000 school district. So I think it's fine the way it is because it gives us room to follow up with anything that comes to mind. But
yeah, this is off point. Like, if you look around and you talk to other districts, we're kind of like right on the dividing line. Districts smaller than us don't have deputy superintendents and have less layers. Districts just a little bit bigger than us, all of them have deputy superintendents. You know what I mean? It's like we fall right on that line, kind of. I'm sorry, you had something?
Well, just as a student of leadership, one of the questions that I've asked and been asked is, what do you feel what is your scope of leadership and the number of direct reports? In fact, how many people can you effectively lead and evaluate? So that might be a follow-up question, but it doesn't speak to the larger question of the entire org
yeah.
chart. But it does say, well, what do you see as your, should you be the communicator who's out in the community and then have someone else who evaluates your 21 principals? Or?
I think bottom line is the question's good.
It is a good question.
So we're going to have an hour with the public and then a 10 to 12 with everybody having these questions?
No.
What's
no.
the 10 to 12?
10 to 12. We're not in here from the 9 o'clock.
Right.
We're not
but
allowed.
What's the 10 to 12?
Yeah. 10 to 12 is the actual, that is the
one on one.
No. 5 on 1.
5 on 1.
Gang
with
up.
With these questions.
Just attack them.
With these questions.
The
yes.
reason for
okay.
these questions was just so that you have a baseline. You have every single candidate is going to get these same 15 questions. After that, depending on how much time's left, free game.
So
we'll start on the end and just work our way down and keep going back.
But then there's no one-on-one, just a lunch or a dinner.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. So these other on the calendar, that was just in. That's not
the calendar.
That's not
accurate.
Meet alone.
No.
Again,
no.
So everybody's interviewed at the same time.
Board interview time. So that's all of us together.
No, all of us.
When we interview from 3 to 5 p.m.,
yeah.
it's the entire board sitting at the dais, and the candidate sits here at a table.
And Suzanne's up there with us.
Yeah, Suzanne.
Six of us.
But these are five different days and five different candidates.
These were all the six yeah. candidates. So every
just how old
gets
are you?
That's what I'm asking.
Thank you.
So we have 10 to 12 with everybody, but prior to a dinner, it's one-on-one. That's what she has here.
No.
Am I not
okay? I think the
confusion is you thought that we were interviewing all five.
We're doing all five for 2 hours, but eventually
we're not.
No,
we're not doing
one person.
One.
Is not at one time.
Okay, we're doing, for example, let's say
this
Matt
is
the
afternoon.
So
the
at 2 o'clock, the community meets with Matt. Matt comes here. Everybody's in here. 1 hour with the community. Then at 3 o'clock, Matt sits here, and we ask the 15 questions and more. And then at the one candidate,
okay,
Matt,
that's what I'm saying. 10 to 12 is all five.
No,
and
no,
I know he said
yes.
Okay.
Never
all five board members.
Okay.
That's where
that's
we
because there
wrong.
Are five of them.
All
right.
Right.
Sure.
Mark Rendell will be Tuesday afternoon. Frank Rodriguez Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Dave Peterson Friday morning. The following Monday morning is Helen Wild and whatever. Judy will do all that with working with their schedule.
Schedule.
No, it's just the whole soup to nuts starting at say 9 a.m. till past lunch. That's with one candidate. Then you come back another day, or that afternoon, you can actually do one in the morning, one in the afternoon. That's a long day. But
so the public time is with one candidate.
Except one candidate. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's
why I was talking about having
when you
have
five
tables.
Yeah, I was
I thought, oh my goodness, somebody's going to go, pigeonhole somebody, and they'll never get to talk to the public.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense, the whole table issue.
Okay. But when I said five, you guys were thinking about five board members. I meant five candidates.
Okay.
Thank you.
Blood sugar might be a little low.
Yeah,
give me a Snickers.
One last question. At the end, they wanted, and I asked, just what was there, where else have you recently applied? What is the status? Mm-hmm. Do we want to keep that in or not? Because
I thought Wayne said that none of them.
That's
not
the whole point.
Maybe.
But
it doesn't have to check in, right?
Yeah, all they can
and
say
it's,
no.
It's a one-minute answer.
For superintendents.
They may have been applying
for a rodeo clown on the circuit.
Where else
and we would want to know.
I mean,
I guess we left the rodeo.
You know, I put on my own tax return the front of the occupation, I put rodeo clown like 3 or 4 years in a row. Because I realized the IRS doesn't care.
You put it on your client?
Just to prove to myself that it, I mean, this I was like
this
20 years old.
Prepared
this 20 years ago.
But you know, in honor of the press, maybe we should ask that last question. Is there anything else you want to share?
No. This is how it worked, Mr. Searcy, is that was the last formal question. I'd say, where else have you recently applied?
Okay.
Nowhere. Now, it's time for specific questions. Board-specific questions go up and down. Then I'm looking at the clock. We either exhaust questions, everybody says, no, I don't have anything else. Then I turn to them, or we're watching the clock, and I give everybody a heads up, listen, we got 5 more minutes, and we're going to turn it over to them. And the last, we gave them like 10 or 15 minutes to say, at the very, very last thing, it's always, okay, is there anything less? And sometimes we have like 45 minutes left. Say, okay, it's now 11:15.
3 minute rule.
Say it's 11:15. You know, is there anything else you want to share with us? Anything like that? And usually we reserve about 10 or 15 minutes at the end. So that's how it went. We have you recently applied? Yes or no? Then we went through the questions. Then at the end we held back some time for them to just espouse the greatness that is them.
But make sure in that process that they don't go back over to their letter and their resume and all that. Anything else?
We
read the resume and all this stuff.
Number one, that didn't happen last time. But I think we said, we appreciate it. We've gone through our questions. We looked at looked at your resume. Is there anything else that we have not asked that you wanted? I think that's how we put it. Is there anything we haven't asked that you haven't, is not on your resume? Anything that didn't come out in the interview that you would like us to know.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
And I think that's how we put it. And then it was,
not the old one, do you still beat your wife? We can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's right, after all.
Yes,
no. Just how old are you? I love that. All right.
That was
so,
a direction.
Just
a
kiss with a stick.
That was Mr. Gustin.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So you do have a little bit of homework for Tuesday. We got some questions to rewrite. We're going to go over these. Hopefully, it'll take 5 minutes next Tuesday at a board discussion. Okay? Just real quick. We'll get happy with these at the end. And then after that, it's just, it's go time. And then based on when Judy gets the interview set, whether they're morning or nighttime, especially if it's a Tuesday, Judy, if we can work a morning and an afternoon on the same day, all the better. Like I said, especially Tuesdays, because I know I've got those marked off, 2 weeks, but basically marked off.
Yeah.
I do know there, you know, and there's within those 2 weeks there was a couple of conflicts. I know I can't be there that last Friday afternoon. I have to get up to a client. I think you had a conflict.
I had two scholarship meetings.
Judy knows all about all those, so we'll work it in. We'll be able to get five, especially since they're not coming from far away. We'll be able to get five in. Go ahead.
I had talked to Judy. Just to be productive, that I know we're going to have public and everything, but I thought it might be better to do afternoon interview then dinner then start in the morning, unless we're going to do two in a day. That's a different story.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but a lot of that's just going to depend on their schedules, yeah. When they can do it, because these people have a lot.
Sure.
They've got jobs that they have to be responsible for. So Judy will work all that out. The only other thing is somebody to kind of get with Judy and work out, okay, now that once we have a schedule, about where do we want to go for an informal small meal with these folks? I nominate Dale. All those favors. Dale, congratulations.
I have an Italian grill.
CJ Cannon's. We did that one last night.
The Italian grill has, I'm thinking of places I want to say with public back rooms or public private rooms for a big table. So
we can't
go in the back room.
No, we can't do that.
It's open door.
We didn't do that last time. We were right in the middle of a restaurant.
Yeah.
We did 14th Avenue Steakhouse.
That makes sense because it'll still be quieter. To be honest,
we went through this last time. It's not bothering sunshine or anything, but we didn't try to go hide. We were right in the middle of a restaurant. Nobody bothered us. It was just a nice, easy time with it. You know, it was notified. We did 14th Avenue Steakhouse. I think it's where we cram. And again, everybody just paid for their own meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time, I probably used my card to pay for the candidates' meal.
You know, that's a problem. We can decide if any of us are willing to pay a meal for a candidate.
I'd
be willing to pay
for a candidate. I ended up paying for them all last time, not just because I got pissed off.
But one point to make out is last time the board said that they did not want the spouse to come along. Do you still want that?
To come along for... Someone brought their spouse. For the meal.
Thank you, Lou.
All right. Yes, spouse or no spouse?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you guys read all the resumes I did, but there's one woman in this whole bunch that, I mean, she's running the show. Somebody, I think the lady from Canada, you know, John's not here, he's at school. But, I mean, you know, the wife has a lot, or the spouse, has a lot to do with what we're going to have as a superintendent.
Yeah.
And I think it would do good for us to have an idea. How they're going
to
work.
We can bring their spouse if they want to.
I mean, I'll pay for them if we bring them, but I think that's critical.
I'm fine with that. And leave it up to them. If you want to bring your spouse as well.
I don't think we need to see the spouse. When Dr. Lacalle was our superintendent, his spouse never showed up. Dr. Adams, I have never laid eyes on her spouse. They don't come to functions. So I really think that we need that time with the candidate, because I don't want to. Then you have to divide your attention to making sure the spouse is not excluded. I didn't miss this, you know, and I know that spouses are very important because they support us. You know, all of us do what we do. We have children, we have jobs, and if our spouses didn't tag team with us, we couldn't do the work we do. We didn't have spouses last time, and I really don't want to divert that time, but that's just my opinion, and
with the majority. I wouldn't care if the spouse was there or not. I don't think it would make a difference to me.
Please see what happened with the combo.
Because we have somebody coming from Orlando. You know, if they're going to be,
and Coconut Creek.
And if they're going to move here, you know, if they're going to pick up their family and move here, spouses don't want to be happy.
Unless you have somebody from the district in charge of the spouse.
Yes, Patty Vasquez.
We don't have Patty
Vasquez.
That's an issue. But I really do think that spouse is a real critical issue.
I'm fine with it. We got two that are fine with spouses here. I need somebody.
Can we
sir.
Just?
Okay. All right, so what we need to do is Jeannie,
yeah,
help me here.
It's not like you.
We need to come up with a facilitator type person, whatever that ends up being, during the community input part. Facilitator type person who can facilitate the public's, you know, not have them sit up at a podium and, you know, you ask a question like at a news conference, but just somebody to take them around. Need to button down the questions. Mm-hmm. All right. And then it's just logistics. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, but if you can't do that till we have interviews, dates set up. So I'm trying to think of anything.
Site visits.
We did not do site visits last time. It's one of those things, if two of you go, then are you, you know, anytime two board members in a car together,
it's,
you
know,
it becomes problematic.
We've been terrified into thinking that's not the case. A lot of school board members have integrity.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
They can drive somewhere without, you know, it's like we have no integrity
right.
until we do it otherwise. That's
right.
Kind of crazy. But, you know, whatever.
Right. Anything else?
I'm in a break. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know how that will add to their value, and I'll tell you why. That'll add to their value for them to, if they want to come and clean up a mess or not clean up a mess, but it won't add to their capabilities to see us. And, you know, nothing's stopping, let me ask you, nothing's stopping any of these candidates to call up and ask for a tour. Is that correct?
I think you meant the other way. Did you
site visit?
No, she
didn't. You go to them.
No, that means you visit the site of the
you
candidate.
You go where they were.
Oh, no.
And you talk to them.
You drive yourself to them.
Yeah.
Why would
well,
you?
Because that gives you a lot of insight when you're in a place and you see them in action and you're there with people. I mean, that is something, that's a practice that is used in
there,
the business.
There's nothing stopping any individual
but
member from doing that type of research for ourselves.
Paul,
is there?
Did our
okay.
I'll let y'all handle that. It's tax season. Yes,
I just think what Mrs. Jimenez is talking about is a formal, scheduled site visit. And I was actually involved with one in another school district on another superintendent search where it was literally scheduled. And the people would come from the other school district, and they would come in, and you would sit in a room, and there would be a group of people that would just ask you questions about the candidate. You know, I'm just a lawyer, so I gave what I could give about them. But it was a very scheduled process. You know, it's whatever each district wants to do.
We did not do any last time.
No.
Is that typically done before or after the interviews?
As part, once you've shortlisted, it's just scheduled
okay,
somewhere
so
in.
Okay, so now and the face-to-face?
Because okay. That's when you
or
need
after.
To know all this before.
Or
after it's too late.
You fired them.
Yeah.
My feeling on that is that some people are they're not coming as superintendents, they're coming as, I don't know, you have all these issues of navigating through how their district perceives them on leaving, how their district's, you know, showing up there. Imagine if we did have out-of-state, does that mean all of us, if we did it for four, and we didn't, I mean, we're lucky we have five in-state, but what if we had one out-of-state, then it would have been,
yeah.
We all, don't, you know, to be fair, gone to another state.
Well, that's
state.
What I mean, too.
I think that homework could be done if a board member wanted to and said, may I come visit? I mean, there's nothing stopping us from continuing to call each candidate individually and continue to investigate and talk on a one-to-one basis.
Okay. All right. Anything else anybody can think of in terms of...
Matt, on the meal thing, is there, you know, I always like to talk about meals, but is there any, given any thought to maybe having some meals catered
that's
in right here?
Yeah.
Certainly.
You know, there's some really neat folks around our community that support our school district that would love to bring a plate lunch or a salad or whatever in here. I would be in favor of something like that because you're going to get served right now, it's over, and we don't have to worry about the crowd and us drinking too much or whatever.
can I make a suggestion? We have five meals, just real quickly, because I like to bang things out. Italian Kitchen, CJ Cannon, Sporting Battery Steakhouse, one in-house catered, and then the alternative school.
Oh, yeah.
But we have to think about how we impact their schedule.
That's true.
Because to get those kids to, because I like that idea,
when it was brought up last time, and I thought, well, that's awesome because we get to show off the schools and blah, blah, blah. But then as I thought about it, does it fit into their schedule?
Well, let me just say that their yearly something meeting with the union, they catered the dinner.
That's in the evening.
So that's what I was going to say. That would be a good evening.
But think about students coming to school in the evening, staff coming. I mean,
we can do lunch.
We can think about it.
We can
absolutely
put 30 minutes in Sharkies too.
Yeah, but you know, we'd have to make sure that it's not going to impact anybody's schedule.
Oh yeah,
you're going to make that lunch specially for us, and kids being pulled out and. You know, I don't know what their schedules are like,
sure.
But I think
that's
what
I was thinking
idea.
Dinner because they did it for the union. I'm sure
the
they
only
paid them.
Thing, you know, and I'm just trying to think it through, Mr. Searcy. The only thing is, if, you know, we had the formal interview. Okay, now we're now okay, yeah. And everybody just come down here and sit at a table and eat. I don't think it would be as informal as it would be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, I'm just again. I'm not.
We're all
you
awesome.
Do barbecue.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not advocating one. I think the whole part of getting away was to get away from the formality of this room and away from the interview area
in the district.
We'll just
and when it's cold, to get away from the cold.
And what did we do? Did we record that? I don't know what we recorded it last time. What did we do this weekend?
I don't. I really don't remember what you did. The meal.
Oh, when we were being compliant to sunshine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was notified.
Right.
You know, we will be at.
I don't think it's required
minutes.
That it's recorded.
To have 3 minutes of our meal.
Probably
just to go to the chicken farm.
A picture of every board member with their meal.
How many calories? Just hold.
I'm sorry, Mr. Searcy.
One of the things that having the meal in here, and I hear what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense, but one of the things about having the meal in here is you don't have to worry about the sunshine law and all that business, because we're here, we've got our attorney here, and it's open to the public. They can come watch, they can't eat. but you eliminate a lot of the questions that were asked of you last time. You know, you guys went out and whined and died, but it's all right here, folks. You can see it, you can hear what we're saying, you've recorded it.
I get you. I'm struggling
bring
with it.
A sub. I'm, what you eat
I'm
lunch,
struggling with it. I'm just sitting here picturing. The five of us and a candidate, Suzanne, sitting at a table like this, and then there'd be like a hamster in the zoo.
Somebody,
you know, somebody, hey, you got a tomato on your lip. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But you know what that does, Matt? That eliminates any question anybody's going to have about the sunshine
government.
And that's going to be, I mean, we're under the microscope, and any chance that, no offense to the press, any chance they can get of catching us violating the sunshine law, they're going to jump on.
We were okay last year by noticing it. I mean,
I think that's, to me, you know, that's kind of taking it to the extreme, because we're doing this. We want the candidates to be comfortable. We want to be able to have that give and take. And it's going to change the tenor of our conversation if we have an audience. If we're in a restaurant, if somebody wants to come, they can pull up a chair, but it's very different. You've got a people there. You know, and we can't just do everything in fear of sunshine. We are people with integrity, and we abide by the sunshine. And I don't understand why we're always making ourselves out to be the constant bad guys. You know, it will be noticed, and
way worse.
It will be fine. But we feed it by behaving that way, because that's why they keep doing that.
All right, anyway.
What if we combine the community engagement with the meal piece? Well, but then we're in the room.
Yeah.
Well, we send them out to lunch. That'd be better. You know, this is an awful lot of talk about a meal. Now.
I know. I remember.
I need to talk about trying to get.
No, wait a minute.
You're trying to get the menu.
On the record. Remember, I said at the beginning of this, I said I thought the whole idea was goofy as all get out, but it did help me one. Okay. All right. I think we're probably okay for today.
So what's the closure on this?
Well, the closure is we're coming back
Tuesday.
Tuesday we come back. Okay.
I'm certain.
In the sunshine.
Tuesday we'll come back. I'll talk with Judy. You know, in terms of ideas for the facilitator type person and how that logistically is going to work out with the community piece, we're going to button down all the questions, okay? And then hopefully by that time, the interview dates will be set, okay? And you can do your thing with restaurants if we decide to go there. If we want to revisit this in terms of coming back, we could let it sit for a few days and we'll come back and if anybody has any more ideas, again, it doesn't have to revolve around food. It doesn't have to.
How about we go to bowling?
It could.
State USA.
But the whole idea was to be able to see the candidates in a less informal setting. That was the whole idea.
Teach on the beach.
Is everybody okay right now?
Yeah.
All right, we got some good work with them.
I have two
more questions.
Yeah, ask
Dr. Blanton is going to handle this thing about travel reimbursement, and what is this thing, discussion of contract negotiations, on our agenda today? Are we going to discuss those items?
What are those, Judy?
I just asked.
Well, Suzanne has the contracts, the standard contracts, you said.
Yeah. Ms. Stang has them. She just gave me a copy. I guess Dr. Blanton delivered them here to the district.
So what do we want to do with those contracts? Do you think we want to look at the current contract, see if that's something that works for us, and then look at other samples in case we want to make changes? Or what are
the contract with
Brandon? On the agenda.
You're right. It was. It's a lot more cut and dry than it was. Than it was last time around. Dr. LaCava's contract had a lot of the bells and whistles that used to be involved in these things. Everything from car allowances to educational things, this, that, and so forth and so on. With the negotiation with Fran, we eliminated almost all that stuff. I mean, it was bare bones down in there. We had when Dr. Blanton was here earlier for our meeting with him several months ago. I know Sean, you were there. And we talked about it. We were talking about because we had to advertise at that point. And we said, you know, what are the contract parameters? And we were okay with this. And we said, well, there was some thoughts about upping it from last time from France. And my question to Dr. Blanton was real pointed. I said, would keeping it the same, you know, instead of going to, I think, 170 was floated. I said, and friends, the max was 160. I said, is that keeping it at 160 as opposed to going 170, is that going to get us one less candidate, in your opinion? He said, no. I said, well, then let's leave it at 160. So we're at the same contract price. Everybody knows that parameter. After that, it just became down to, you know, I think we ended up doing something like a life insurance for Fran or something. What was it, Suzanne? Something. But
maybe we should all just read the contract before next Tuesday, and if there are any concerns about the contract, the content, something missing, you have references of other contracts, and we can just at that point decide, do we stay with the current contract or does it need changes? That would be a good starting point.
I mean, the salary is we've advertised that. You know, it's going to be hard to move off that.
Discourage 7 to 69 people.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Well, and so Dr. Blanton was...
There's more to
exactly
the contract
right
than that number.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, can I say, just right now, and I hope we all think about this, I wouldn't be in favor of any buyouts from old contract. I mean, they're clean from wherever they're coming from, clean to here.
Absolutely.
That's a given.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, I think so,
and
too.
No promises by whoever's negotiating the contract about things that we might want to buy, that like $100,000 worth of sick leave from another district.
Right. I think that's exactly
clean.
What Dale's saying.
That's just start clean with us.
That was a real sour note.
I was not here at that time.
No.
But we had to deal with the consequences.
I had to deal with it. I still get blamed for buying the property on Lateral A.
Yep.
Shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, exactly. That was.
Well, now
probably
you guys
in graduate school
too.
At the time.
So, by the
way, can you make sure everybody has a copy of that contract?
Of Dr. Adams.
Dr. Adams' contract.
It's online.
Does it say digital?
Okay.
Judy can make it.
It's online
ridiculous.
Now for anybody in the world to say.
Maybe just wait.
Can you forward
it.
A link?
Yeah.
Judy, because I'll never find it.
Thank you.
Read it, and again, and Judy, put it on our agenda for next Tuesday. And so
for the discussion.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
There's also a legal sized piece of paper that charts out the various superintendent contracts that you've had over the year. Mm-hmm. That might be helpful just to see what other superintendents here and you never have gotten and then where you came to with Dr. Adams to see if there's anything that you think you might want to dangle, you know, as a carrot or, you know, anything at all. Think about here in Indian River, so do you want to offer something like that, that kind of a category, to give them some sort of a allowance to move their family?
We can have, let's have all the, all those, we'll flesh all that out. I don't think that'll be a law.
Where is that? Is this that attached to the contract?
No, we should get that on the file. I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, this was something that Carol Johnson had put together.
I think it was at the meeting, the workshop that we're going to.
Let's see where it's attached.
Judy, can you just make sure everybody gets a copy of that?
When it's in October.
That was charitable reimbursement for
October
23rd,
2014 board discussion session. It was a document that Carol Johnson passed out as part of your. I just stapled it all together.
And last time we did reimburse all candidates for travel at the standard IRS rate for miles that they were driving. If they had, I think we picked up a room if they had to stay overnight. We had two come from out of state.
So that's what this reimbursement is all about.
So that's exactly what that is.
All his stuff take care of in this contract.
So Judy will let them know.
Yeah, no, that's not for him. That's for the candidates.
Just show it on there.
Yeah, and that's and Judy will, if everybody's all right with that, I assume they are. Judy will let the candidates know when she sets the interview that we'll reimburse them for mileage.
Are you doing this?
Everybody's trying.
Reimbursement.
Reimbursement for travel.
You will let the candidates know.
We use the state. My only question in my mind, since I'm using state figures, what is adopted in our district that should be more specific on our food reimbursements and mileage? If they're all from Florida, are there any that's going to need overnight accommodations? Are they coming that
far away? Coconut Creek would be the farthest away, and especially if it's a Monday morning meeting, I don't think there'll be any need to stay over.
The furthest one away should be our 2 o'clock.
Yes. Option. That if I say we won't pay for overnight, then they can still stay at their own if they wanted to.
Yeah, I would just try to. Judy.
But I need to tell them.
Yeah, we're still here. Judy, please feel free to chime in. I would not say we will not. Pay for that. We will not pay for that. Don't leave
just
it like
gas
that.
Just gas and meals are reimbursable.
Just say your travel is reimbursed, and if they ask about staying overnight,
that's such a small.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly why I don't want you to say we will not pay for overnight. I can't imagine folks from, most folks going to stay overnight. It's such a small dollar amount. Tell them we'll pay for their travel. Okay. We'll reimburse for travel.
And I can tell you. So did you need an answer on district reimbursement for meals? Is there a state standard that we go by, or we just do it at the district?
We do it at the district. We adopt the state standard. We change it all the time according to what the state puts forward.
7 for breakfast.
Okay, so whatever that is.
Freaky. Yeah, I mean.
And not for the room.
That's paying for dinner.
Right? Not for the room.
We got 5 candidates. And what could a room cost?
Yeah.
$150?
$160.
I mean, we don't put them on the beach somewhere.
I have to tell you, so close you have Mr. O'Neill lives in Brevard. He's not going to take a hotel. He lives in Brevard. You have Mr. Green that's local.
He lives in Pelham.
Yeah, he lives all the way in Pelham.
He's got a room right by Ditch 12.
You don't know what street you live on.
Those boys from Fellsburg growing up, they tell you where they live by which ditch.
It's true.
Seriously, I'm not being
funny. They go by ditch. Yeah. That's a form of.
Where do you live, ditch 6?
We're not joking.
No, that's not your
speed mean.
No, it's true.
It's
yeah. All right. How dare you?
Another question, Bob.
Okay, details. Last time I was told to tell them we don't pay for a car rental, but we will pay for mileage.
Right. Don't go into it. We won't pay for this. Tell them we will reimburse them for travel. Yeah. Don't tell them we won't do anything. Tell them we'll reimburse them for travel.
I mean, if they are going to rent a car to come from St. Lucie County, I don't think we want them to be our superintendent. Right.
Especially if they're driving the county, St. Lucie County car to come up here. We better be...
Tell them we'll reimburse them for any out-of-pocket travel.
That was an interesting choice.
As per state standards, right?
Yeah. Heck, I've done that, trying to get counts of miles.
That's critical.
Just
Do we need to talk, we decided on the final selection procedure, the straw vote?
No, we have not.
On the record.
Yeah, we need to, we can talk, we talk about today or next week. We talk about after lunch today. I don't care. We decided at the last time at one of our discussion sessions, we were not going to do like we did last time. The way we did it last time, Dr. Adams, I believe, was the last candidate. Went out to dinner. Community members stayed right here. Over it. We came back in this room, and we elected a superintendent that night.
Wow.
Again, that's the way that board did it. We said last time, if you remember, the last time we were together at a roundtable, we said we did not want to try to elect a member. And I said, that's probably a good idea. I agree with that. So we're going to have to, after Judy's got the interview set up, we're going to know our timetable at that point. We're going to have time to come back together at another scheduled meeting to elect a superintendent. Now, understanding that we have those 2 weeks, okay? We have, you know, next week's an off week. Then we have those 2 weeks set aside. If the last interview can't come till late in the week, at that second week, the following week is spring break.
Are we out on spring break?
Well, it's just there's nobody around here.
Well, that's a good time to meet.
Why
would we need anybody else? If we're coming together to make the final selection, we've heard all the interviews, we're coming together in a meeting to make the final selection.
I know Judy will not be here. She'll be with her father.
Yes.
Yeah, Judy's going to be out of town, so you're not going to... I'm just... Yeah. Hey, I'm right there with you. I'm just telling you it's spring break. What logistic problems would that prove to
building
us?
Building closed.
Just Thursday and Friday, I think your building is closed.
So just make sure that we make sure that all the interviews are done between Monday and Thursday, and we're free.
We have a deadline to get all of this business.
That's Friday before the aren't available. April 30th.
Again, we will know more when Judy gets on the blower
and
makes the interviews. It's possible if we can get all five interviews done, say, you know, not next week, the following week, you can have four full days.
Yeah.
That last Friday, unfortunately, is blocked up. I have to be somewhere in the afternoon.
Monday.
So we'll have days. Again, if we can get all five of them in next week, all the better. Okay? But that's what I'm saying. Logistically, if it pushes to where that last interview is Thursday afternoon of the second week, then we're going to be coming up here at spring break, and hopefully somebody's got a key.
When does spring break begin, though? Is it the last 2 days of the next week?
Well, spring break's the whole following week, but I think this building's open.
But you can meet somewhere else. You could meet at the United Way community room. We could find the chamber has a room. We could find a place to meet where you
tell them about
notice it, and you tape it.
Wait a minute. Can I make this easy? I want to make sure she heard. Try to make the interviews all for next week.
Yes.
If there's a problem, we'll find out Tuesday.
Right.
And
we'll
figure
find
out.
We'll
before then. But I'm
we'll
saying
know more before then.
No, what I'm saying is that she needs to have clear direction that please emphasize we need, unless there's a hardship of interviews next week.
Right.
We'll try to do them earlier rather than later.
Yeah.
It's
usually televised. Your final selection meeting, I believe, is televised.
It has been in the past. I don't think it has to be. Until we get those, let's not have a big discussion. We don't need to. Let's figure out when the interviews are first.
Yeah.
So then we're going to come back here at some point. In this room, let's just assume this room, and we're going to have a special call meeting to elect a superintendent. At that point, we we can do this any way you want. I think the way the last time I remember we had three straw votes. We said, put down your 1, 2, and 3 candidate. That's what we did first, okay? I sat here with a piece of paper and I sat here adding. And all I kept thinking is, God, I hope I get this right. And so we came up with...
Better get another count.
We narrowed it down. And I think all we did at that point is eliminated two. For some reason, I think maybe there was a tie. There was one person who came in first, and there was a tie for second and third. So we dropped the bottom two. So then we had another straw vote, and another person was eliminated. And then it came down to a yay vote on Fran or Wayne, Jim. I think the intent was to have a straw vote of your 1, 2, and 3 candidates. Have the top two then become your finalists for one and two. The fact is, we had a tie for second and third. That's why there were three votes instead of just two.
I still think the process is pure. I think it's fine. I think that's a way to just get rid of the bottom dwellers fast and then have some.
The idea is to get down to a top two.
Yeah.
Like I said, we had an extra vote just because we had a second. We had a tie at two and three after that first vote. Not a hard and fast way to do it. It's going to be a real quick meeting. I mean, we'll open it up for any further discussion everybody wants. If you found out, you know, that this
person. But it's a board meeting. It's not a public meeting, and it's over. The public just had their say.
Exactly. This is a special card board meeting.
It's open to the public.
Yeah, we have to have it open to the public. But you know, and at that point, you know, unless you find out that you know, one of your candidates was running a bingo hall and you know, and Haiti.
Increase revenue.
Well, that's true. My beer sells at football games. We can't have discussion before it. You know, we come in, there's no more discussion. We just talk this thing to death, and it can be a real quick meeting. Mm-hmm. Say, give me your top three. Here we go. Here's the results. Okay, here's our top two. Who you got?
And then we set interviews with those top two.
No, that was it.
Contract negotiations
began. Yeah, that's
corporate.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Well, when Judy sets the calls to candidates, you could just give them the time they need to come.
Right.
Say, you're scheduled for Tuesday, 5th, at 2 o'clock.
Yes, I like that. Is there any problem with that? You're scheduled for Tuesday the month. Is there any problem with that?
That's a way to be proactive and make sure that it gets done.
There's no schedule.
And then, you know, waiver from there. But
okay. Okay.
You're good. You can do it. We know you can.
You can.
It worked out fine. Some before had to make plane reservations.
Yeah, just
so I had to find out when their plane was coming in and then figure out how long it took to get here.
So that's gone now. You don't
just
have to worry about that.
Judy, make that magic happen. Don't tell me about labor pains. Just show me the baby.
Now, one other, just a general thing. Is there something that we're going to do to the other 64 candidates? Are we sending them a letter saying our selection has been made and you were not?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And the five that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing whenever it's all over?
I called them.
Okay.
I called them. I'll form a suggestion here. I called them. And Judy will let them know beforehand. And then I called them to tell them we were looking forward to coming. And, you know, I think I called them first, actually.
I'll wait until you're finished making your phone call.
As I said, I'll tell them Judy Stang will be, our school board secretary will be contacting you shortly to set up the interviews. The interviews are set for, you know, this week.
No, I think he meant on the back end. When we get to the short list.
When it's over, whenever we select that one.
And I called the five. Yeah. I called the four and told them that, you know, thanked them.
Or whatever that
is. As soon as he was.
Perfect.
Yeah, one of them got hold of their wife and she hung up the phone. Same person that was so good.
Oh, wow.
You should have called right and said, you did have it until you hung up. That was the test.
Colin says, congratulations.
That was the test.
But actually, and I called all five candidates like this afternoon, tomorrow. And Judy will give me those numbers, or they're on the resumes. I'll call them.
It's already online. I'm sure we've already seen
everybody
it.
Knows
everybody knows who we've selected.
It
should be
done. You should.
Very positive.
Yeah.
We need to do that.
Yeah. And we let
maybe
all
should be done sooner rather than later.
I'll start this afternoon.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Now. All right. Is that enough out of you people?
We still have some
donuts. We still got donuts. Well, okay, let's start.
At least we have donuts.
Exactly. All right, yeah. We're
going to go water my chickens.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Are we done for today?
I believe so.
Judy told me to be ready for all day, so I...
Well, we're better than that.
We were ready for all day, but...